All right, we'll call to order the Stephensville Town Council meeting for Monday, June 25th, 2018. We'll start with the roll call. Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
Councilmember Smith.
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Here.
And Councilmember Barker.
Here.
If you please rise and join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, next item of business on the agenda tonight is the approval of the biweekly claims. We do not have minutes this week due to the absence of the clerk. So we'll have a round of minutes to approve when she gets on board. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the biweekly claims.
It's been moved to approve the biweekly claims. Is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims. Is there any discussion from the council? Ms. Holcomb.
First page, 14486-4 and Main, parts to hook up water mat, $116.65. Is that for the new?
This is the new laundry mat. Mm-hmm. You have to upsize the lines to go over that.
Any further questions on the claims? Ms. Barker.
Page 3, claim number 14503. The Pyro FX by Rickenbach Incorporated. I thought we were getting donations for the fireworks.
We are, but they have to run through the claims. So you'll see the revenue on the revenue report. Ms. Barker.
Same page, 14508, Main Street Flowers for $510.
Comes out of our economic development fund. That's something we participated in last year and continue to do this year. Ms. Holcomb.
We got, Main Street Association got a grant for that last year. And that's what we were paying through us, through that grant that Main Street got.
The grant that Main Street got was our money. We granted that money to Main Street. Any further questions on the claims? Okay, is there any public comment on the claims? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
I'll move on to administrative reports. Is Mr. O'Baggy in the building? He's not. I don't think there's any airport report to give tonight. The building report is in your packet. Is there any questions on the building report? Okay, Chief Motley, fire report. You come forward to the podium.
Okay, so the fire report is also in your packet. Last month we had 44 requests for service, bringing our year-to-date total up to 212. We had 23 of those 44 requests within the city limits, 18 were within the district. Mutually given was 3 times. Our current roster is now 23. Our average response time is running right around 6 minutes to 7 minutes. Our shortest was 2, and our longest was 18 minutes and 20 seconds. Other than that, it's been pretty much business as usual in the fire department. We're moving forward with getting the ambulance all licensed up and ready to go, ready to respond, and possibly do some billing there. The fire department is going to be actively involved in the picnic as far as preparing the roast and getting them equipped and all that we normally do with the picnic as it goes on every year. This year, we're adding the fireworks display and probably kick off around 10:30 at night. That was under the jurisdiction of the fire department. So we've added that, and we have received donations in excess of what the bill will be for the fireworks for this inaugural year. We which is really great and a positive thing. Thanks for all those that did do that, put that together. And other than that, we're doing pretty well. Everything's working well. We should be fine. I'm just looking to get through the budget process and get that all done up. So other than that, we're good.
Are there any questions from the fire chief or for the fire chief from council?
Thanks for your help.
Okay. Any questions from the public? Mr. Cruz.
Jim Cruz, 316 Ninth Street. Do we need two town employees and a fire truck to deliver brochures on our town ordinances for fireworks? Because I think that's what we're going on today.
I don't know who all was doing that, if that was Brittany and a cadet or whatever, but I have no problem with using a fire apparatus to go around to lift those off.
Jeff, it was Brittany and myself.
Okay, so Brittany and Janelle.
Yes.
It's just a service that the department put together. It's just a flyer that you hand up to the kids as they're buying their fireworks, reminder for safety, reasons and issues and things to be aware of. I think it's a great PR piece for the fire department to be out there and be involved in the community.
You get a good response from that as well.
I don't have a problem with us taking information out to vendors, but we need to have two employees do it in a fire truck. And that's two employees. That's close to $30 an hour we're spending to deliver one sheet of paper to some fireworks vendors outside of town in a town fire truck. Why couldn't we use a town car to do that, which is a lot less expensive, and only use one employee?
Okay, your comment's been noted. Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Oh, Tanya, did you have a comment?
How much more money are we looking at for donations?
We have everything we need.
You have everything you need this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Next item on the agenda is guests. Are there any guests in the audience that would like to be recognized that aren't already on this evening's agenda? Okay. No correspondence this evening. Let's move on to public comment. Public comment is an opportunity for the public to comment on anything under the town's jurisdiction or on tonight's agenda. You can comment at this time, or you can comment during that agenda item when the council considers it. We just ask that you come to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and so if there's any public comment, you can step forward now. Mr. Cruz.
Jim Cruz, 369th Street, Stephenville, downtown. Comments and questions. When will the new clerk be here? And where is the interim clerk? Because we're supposed to have a clerk in all council meetings. Stephenville Municipal Code, Section 2-126, duties of the town clerk and treasurer to attend all meetings of the council. If we have an interim clerk, has she been appointed? And has council been notified? And has council approved the interim appointment and have they been sworn in as required per section 2-123? A couple of things I'd like to comment on. One was two town employees and the Stephenville Fire Pumper Truck delivering the brochures. Second is the GSC authorized to drive a town fire truck. The General Services Authority. Remember the fire department?
Yes.
Okay. At the conclusion of the previous town council meeting, the mayor made some comments to the council that were out of order regarding the order of business of the town council, stating along the line that his family has a $30,000 per year income, trying to live on a $10,000 a year income. That if the council did not want him to bring his child to town hall, that he would dramatically reduce the number of hours he would work. Well, the mayor, John Barrett, is set at $833 a month. Been that way for two mayors. This is going on, this is the third mayor. It's not a problem with the council. This is a problem with the person who decided to run for mayor and accepted a $10,000 a year honorarium with a commitment to be able to work at least 20 hours per week. The mayor's job description was passed under Gene Menmack. 20 hours a week is what you had to commit to. The care and safety of a toddler in town hall is not and should not be a function of the mayor in or on town property, especially during business hours. Nor should the town hall be considered and equipped as a daycare. It is not professional, it is a safety issue, and that the town hall is not childproof, and there are transient personnel that come into town hall. There is little to no security at town hall, as evidenced by an intoxicated citizen coming into town hall offices and frightening the town employees. Surely, if it is a safety concern to have a toddler running loose, having a toddler running loose in town hall with the mayor's office equipped with toys and daycare accoutrements, as has been noted by citizens and other elected officials. Along those lines, having Cat5K wing phone lines distributed across the floor of the mayor's office and in front of doorways makes for a child choking and employee tripping hazard in town hall. Bookcases and cabinets that have not been properly secured to the walls, and no book guards to prevent the books from being pulled out of the bookcase by a small child or a hazard. Perhaps we need to open the council chambers up to let the rest of the town citizens use the council chamber as a daycare facility, as it is the property of the town's citizens, not the exclusive jurisdiction or property of the mayor. If you continue with your actions, you cannot deny any other employee from bringing their child or children to work and care for them at the expense of the town citizenry. Okay? It's nothing against you, Mayor. It's about having a small child in town hall. It is a hazard. Fourth, the long letters. I've heard the letters going out instructing citizens that if they do not cut their lawns, they can be subject to municipal code penalties. I would suggest, Mr. Mayor, that you take a look at a lot of the places in town who are not complying with these ordinances, specifically the town itself. There are some places with weeds and grass in excess of 5 feet. One weed bed just happens to be across the street from town hall. Go look at the corner of 5th and Main, East Side Highway, College and Church, the town property between the church and the storage property. Go look at the parks when the trimming has not been completed or where the benches are moved and the grass not cut where the benches sat. I suggest you take a look at some of the abandoned vehicles in town or those not moved in over 6 months and the weeds surrounding the vehicles. Take care of the town property before sending those letters off to someone else who may be on vacation, getting ready to go on vacation, waiting to get the mower repaired. Fifth, why is it that the council has to submit an agenda item request to bring the mayor's office into compliance with Montana Code and the State of Bill Municipal Code? For example, tonight's agenda item, creation of a public works assistant. The mayor created a job, set a salary, written a job description, and advertised the position without discussion with the council. The mayor did not have the authority on the town's state form of government. The mayor had apparently decided to promote a part-time position full-time. This also is not within the power or authority of the mayor. It is a council decision. Please refer to Montana Code 744201, 754110 regarding setting the salaries and duties of all officers and employees. When were you going to bring to the council a budget amendment for both jobs and a resolution for the budget amendment? Six, Councilmember Michelson was maligned in the Bitter Star last week for comments he did not make during the county council meeting. I was at the meeting. I heard what was said, and it was not Councilmember Michelson that attacked the chief of police. It was one member of the council, and I believe the mayor. The opinion was written for the Bitter Star. It was highly inaccurate, and he is owed an apology. Councilmember Michelson was simply trying to address a need to explore additional resources for law enforcement coverage for the town and made no personal attacks on credibility, competency, or confidence in the issue whatsoever.
Is there any further public comment? Mr. Burkhart.
Thanks. Corey Burkhart, 48 CH Creek Road, and I'm in the town, so it's up.
Nope, absolutely.
Just a comment about the pool schedule this year. Kind of a little frustrated that a lot of the family swim evening time is cut out in lieu of aerobics classes. I'm sure that's important, but for people who work all week, that's like the only time we get to go to the pool with their kids, and cutting it down by two nights kind of sucks. So I'm just a little disappointed in that decision. I understand there were some cuts and the possibility of losing the pool. That would be a shame, but I think we kind of went the wrong direction on where we cut, so that's it.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Okay, move on. Unfinished business, discussion decision, law enforcement services contract with Ravalli County. You'll see in your council packets and likely on the screen, basically a brief on the meeting that the sheriff, myself, Chief Marble, and April, the finance officer, held with other representatives of Ravalli County. That meeting you were briefed on at the budget workshop on Thursday. I just wrote a few notes on that. And based on that budget workshop that you held, we're here tonight to discuss further. The sheriff is in attendance. You can collect more public input should you need to. How would the council like to proceed? I'll recap a little bit of the conversation that was held at the courthouse with the sheriff. Again, myself, Chief of Police James Marble, and our finance officer April Van Tassel attended that meeting. It was the Wednesday following that Monday council meeting when you made this request. There were a couple of options brought forward by the sheriff. Regardless of those options, he expressed intent to maintain the school resource officer. We talked some about municipal ordinances not being enforced on certain degrees, but mostly the takeaway on that meeting was that the current situation is unsustainable. We have to make a move one way or another and either rebuild the force that we intend to keep or not intend to keep, and not keep it, and contract the sheriff's office. Because we're in a budget cycle and under somewhat of a pressed deadline, not only on our end with the city, but also with the county, we need to make a decision sooner rather than later on whether we'd like to pursue this contract. Ms. Holcomb.
Well, I'm a little confused because at our last meeting, we were told that it was going to cost us $300,000. But then I read the Ravalli paper, and that statement was never made, so I'm a little confused on how much it would cost to contract with the Sheriff's Department.
Sheriff, would you like to come forward and speak to that?
Thank you first for the opportunity and the invitation tonight. I think that this is an issue that we do need to address. I feel, and I think the chief would agree with me, there was a pretty productive meeting last week when we talked, or 2 weeks ago. And really what it boils down to is, regardless of the circumstances that brought us here, is this is a discussion that we're going to have this fiscal year anyway. Just did a little bit of research going back to January of this year, and the sheriff's office is fielding 87% of the calls for service into the dispatch center. Now, admittedly, that I'm not talking about calls that came into City Hall or flagged down an officer, but that's a model that we cannot sustain for any length of time. What we're doing now is I'm glad to provide that service for as long as possible, but this is not a solution by any means. Very short term, and by short term, the first fire that we have in Ravalli County this year, we're going to have to seriously address how we assign our manpower. To get to the initial question, the cost of one deputy, the complete and total cost, is a little over $100,000 a year. When we talk about training, equipment, wages, vehicles, and everything that goes into that. I think understanding and talking to the county, because what I should point out is whatever we talk about and whatever deal I strike is still something I need to take to my board of commissioners and figure out a way to finance and sustain that. So understanding, and one of the models I talked to the mayor about, I did go through the materials prior to the meeting. He did a very good job of kind of casualizing what that meeting and what we talked about. Understanding one of the things we threw out is instead of assigning one deputy to the city town limits of Stevensville, would be bring on a deputy who we would assign essentially to this area, and realizing then that brings a benefit to the county. So talking with my board of commissioners and working with our finance people, we'd be willing to try to work out some kind of system where the town of Stevensville isn't paying 100% of that person's wages, understanding that they might take a call outside the town limits, their investigations are outside the town limits. So less than $100,000. So what we talked about was bringing on, in order for me to cover those calls and do it a satisfactory manner with a response time that's palatable for the citizens, it would take me at least three deputies to do that. But keeping in mind that one of those I intend and will fight kick and scream to keep in the school district. The school resource officer program is important to us and something we're trying to expand through the entire county. So with my existing staff and the addition of three deputies, we feel that we could cover the town of Stevensville. So in some discussions and crunching some numbers today, we're probably looking at about $270,000.
Sure, that's the three deputy option?
Yes. And understand, what I want you guys to hear from me is I do not really have a preference how this works. I have one goal here, and it's for consistent and satisfactory law enforcement for the whole county. And how do we provide that? The town of Stevensville tax base provides about $85,000 in public safety money to the county. And so we could break that down a thousand different ways. But basically that pays for part of a dispatcher and part of a detention officer. And it seems, $85,000 seems like a lot of money until you start breaking that down into the overall budget of what the county provides. Yes, sir.
Do you have any idea where, if we did, were to go to the sheriff's department, what would happen along with the city judge? Or could you answer that here, Dewey?
I would defer to the mayor for that.
I thought you might. It was briefly discussed as to what the court system would look like. I think that if that's probably yet to be seen, and we haven't consulted our municipal judge on that. But I think the feeling for the most part in that meeting was that if we contracted with the sheriff's office, we'd disband our court and send citations to justice court. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and for almost everything that is perfectly acceptable. We would have to have a discussion about some ordinances and city code. And I'll just be honest, I've never sat down with the town code book and looked at what the different ordinances are. So we'd have to have some discussion about how we apply that, especially given the manpower resource, how we make that work.
Thank you. Council? Any direction or thoughts?
Just want to say
that. Stay close, though. You don't go too far. Are you guys prepared to take public comment?
Yeah.
Okay. Public comment, Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Cruz, 3169th Street, Stephen. This comment's primarily for something for the chief of police and the sheriff to consider. Sheriff Halton would, if this went through, the sheriff's department provide law enforcement services for Stevensville, would you absorb our present chief of police in your organization?
So those are certainly discussions to be had. But I guess I'll just say at this point, yes. I mean, if that's, because one of the things I'm going to have to look about is hiring and recruiting. And if I have an experienced officer that I can place in a position, I'll absolutely do that. I won't promise that it'd be within the town limits of Stevensville. I'll apply that resource where it works best for us. But absolutely, that's certainly not the table.
Mr. Sharkey?
I wanted to ask the sheriff a question.
there's a whole row here for you, Sheriff. Michael, if I can ask, would you, before you, can you step to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and just so everyone can hear, we'll utilize the microphones.
Michael Sharkey, 203 St. Mary's Drive. I'm sorry, I'm not up to date on exactly what the county is offering for a package of $270,000. I'm kind of curious what that consists of. I wonder if you could flesh that out a little bit for me.
Sure. Sheriff?
So what I'll say is this is a plan that we put together. I'm certainly not saying it is the option. So what we would do with that is with my existing manpower is I would pick up two patrol deputies and a school resource officer. With my existing manpower, I can adjust my shifts to assign a deputy to the Stevensville area. Not constrained to the town limits, but the Stevensville area. And I can put that officer on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there would be an assigned deputy to the area.
More to the zip code than actually sitting in it.
Not to get too technical, put everybody to sleep, but the way we do this is we divide the county into six areas and then assign a deputy to north, central, and south. So there's two areas in each district, I guess you could call it. So what I would do is I would break the north, which is basically Florence and Stevensville areas. It's at Bell Crossing North, basically. I would break that into two and assign one of them to what we call Area 5, which is the Stevensville area.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Okay, why don't we just make a line at the podium and you can make your comment. Mr. Perrin, or sir?
I'm Walt McComb, 293 Delaware, Creekside Middle Subdivision, and I understand how important public comment is to these meetings. And I don't know anybody else, but I cannot hear. What you guys can hear what I'm saying, but I don't know. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Is there speakers?
Brittany, can you turn the volume up on just about everything but me?
Thank you.
Please come forward.
Jeff Motley, 318 Main Street. So how does the sheriff's proposal match up to the chief's proposed budget?
to answer that, the chief's proposed budget is just shy of $240,000 in this fiscal year. That brings us up to essentially four full-time equivalents with reimbursement for the SRO at half. So it'll be a full-time clerk, full-time chief of police, full-time officer, and a half-time, he'd be full-time, but half of that reimbursement from the school resource officer. So that's basically the price of the service that we propose in the fiscal year 19 budget. And then obviously at the three deputy option, you have that $270,000 rough figure, keeping in mind that we may go through changes in our budgeting process and the county may raise or lower that price. Does that answer your question, Chief?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Lou, come on up.
Newborn at 419 College. Unlike a lot of the people out here, I know how to manage a police department. Did it for 21 years in this town. Three times I was down to one officer myself. I know the difficulties. The most options we ever had were four. that they want grants, and we only have them for like, I think, 5 months, 6 months, and two of those were in the National Guard. So we didn't really have that many officers. We never had a police officer, but we could afford it. We're still a township. In the 21 years I was here, our cases reported, crime reported, ran from 80 to 135. We had a success ratio, case closure rate, never lower than 77, and as high as 85. And when I retired, we had no overtime, we were within budget, and I think that year we were at an 80% clearance rate. I don't think what we have here is a major monetary problem. I think we have a management problem. I think we've been better managing our time and our resources. I checked with James at Montana Board of Crime Control, and his cases have risen that much more than mine have. And I think we just need better management, and I think we can survive this. Thank you.
Bill Perrin, 503 Charles. I got a couple of questions. One probably for the chief and also for the sheriff. And I'm sure I'm naive on this. I wonder what is different about protecting someone in a town than versus in the country, because out of town is, and I'd like to hear what the answer is to that, because it seems to me that we do pay taxes as people living in town to the county for police protection, but for some reason it costs us a lot more to protect people, the 2,000 people in town. And I'd be curious of why that's so. And I'm sure there's a reason, I just don't know what it is. The other thing I was wondering about, we as people need to, at some point, decide what we want for coverage. And coverage means not the number of people, it's how quickly they can respond, and what we expect in response. In other words, do we want an officer within so many minutes of us? And I think that would be maybe one way that you would equate it, but it seems to me like we need to decide that. And collectively, we need to maybe go through what kind of a process, but because I think that it seems to me we may be demanding more, I don't know that, but I know that certainly the call volume in the fire department is up significantly. I can't speak to that in regards to police. But the other thing it seems, and I looked at the schedules, and then on the one for the five officers would be an officer on duty 24/7, 365 days a year, and that would be in town. That's about 500,000 was proposed. Well, my understanding of that would be that there would be an officer here, so we'd have quick response at all times. And when we talk about response, I'll throw another thing that's kind of had in mind, is that I think that if we had our officers trained in CPR and carrying AEDs, there's another thing, if we had officers available to us all the time, they may be able to, assist, at least initially, because we have citizen CPR that now you can do AEDs with it, and if they carry the AEDs, we could certainly get somebody there within, the 6 minutes that we need to do to be able to defibrillate. So, again, I'm throwing a number of things out, but it seems to me we need to think through the whole process and the gamut of the things that we would like to have, and then we've got to decide how we want to present that, and how we want to activate it, and what we want to pay for. So, and it doesn't seem to me that we've, I don't know how many hours, and I served on the council, I don't know if we ever had it equated to us as to how much coverage we do actually have. There's so many hours in a year, totally, and how many do we have someone on duty that's able to respond to us? And it seemed to me we maybe start with some kind of a model we all agree on in that regard, and then back into it to see, you know, what the best way to pay for it.
So to recap, you're asking the difference between police protection in town and out in the county, and then you're inquiring what the public thinks the coverage should look like within the town. Chief, would you like to speak to it at all?
So as far as coverage goes, with what we currently have, the current system that we have, generally speaking, there isn't coverage on basically two 24-hour periods with some exceptions. And of course, that doesn't have anything to do with vacation time, sick leave, and so forth. So there is a significant lapse in coverage. Plus, late at night, there isn't any coverage until early in the morning. You know, the calls for service. And just to speak to what former Chief Barnett was speaking about, I too looked at the numbers as far as case closure rates go. Our numbers are consistent with every other town in the state of Montana, actually better than most places. Generally speaking, the case closure rate percentage-wise for every jurisdiction in Montana is less than 50%. There's times in our past that we were well above that or below that, but again, that depended on a lot on manpower during those times too. So as far as the overall coverage, you have to have at least 5 officers to have 24/7 coverage. But again, you can't have somebody on vacation or sick leave where it throws that off of it. So to have that kind of coverage, you would really need 6 officers, and obviously you have to have somebody to do full-time clerical work as well. What does that look like? Well, we have to put numbers together. I think that's sustainable somewhere in between, with resources in place already, in between $400,000 and $500,000 a year. That would be, again, resources in place. It takes capital to get those resources initially. So it's it is something that has to be addressed. What does that model look like? What do the citizens want? The reality is, I don't know. You know, we got to look at, obviously there would have to be a raise in taxes. So what does that look like per household? Well, as you pointed out last budget meeting, there's a calculation that goes into that to determine that.
We'll cover that tonight.
Okay. Either way, I think the big picture here is this has been a long time coming. The phrase that's being thrown around is that we've been kicking the can down the road, and we're at that point now where we've got to do something. Call volume. It's always increasing. You know, our calls for service, our rate of incidence is fairly significant. It's not maintainable, it's not manageable with the current staffing, even when we are at full staff for our jurisdiction. There's no jurisdiction that can effectively take that on. I mean, you'd have to basically pick and choose what you want to deal with. And that's not what we do, and that's not what we've ever done. I mean, we call people back, we do whatever we can. Unfortunately, we spend more time doing investigations than we do patrols, and it shouldn't be that way. I mean, the real way to deal with criminal activity is by deterrence. To deter things, you need patrol activity. So, but in order to do that, you have to have the manpower to do it. So we're constantly, it's constantly a Rob Peter to pay Paul type thing. You know, we've constantly got to triage and deal with circumstances as they arise and determine which is more important to deal with at that particular time. So I guess to put it in perspective, we need to have a model that is sustainable, that we can address the issues of the town with. And part of that was to, you know, do the Coffee with Cop program, to establish the Neighborhood Watch. Again, I tried it a long time ago just to have the manpower to really get it up and running. Now we have full-time clerical, which helps tremendously. But that helps us focus and identify problems in particular areas. You know, these are some things that are advantages to having a police department, because you can monitor and you can put those things together. Obviously, having officers that live in town, that work with the people, it's a huge advantage because you get to know your citizenry, and your case closure is better, obviously, for that particular reason. So, but it's the same thing with the sheriff's office. I mean, generally, deputies kind of get to know the people in their area, too. So it is sort of apples and apples, but as far as coverage goes, you know, the town would have to pay the sheriff's office similarly for that same type of coverage. So if we're looking at that plan of having that quick response time and having somebody always in Stevensville, whether they pay the city or the county is basically what's got to be determined, if that's the kind of coverage that the citizens want here. So we're looking at either paying the county for that or paying the city. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Thanks. Does that mostly answer your question? No? You want to know? No? Come on up, Bill.
My initial question was, well, why do we in town pay more for police protection than people live in the county? And my question was specifically, are we saying that it takes more energy or more resource to protect people that live in a confined area than the people who live in the country? And I do understand that, you know, maybe they have to wait a little longer depending on where they're at. But I still don't understand it, because it seems to me that we are paying for police protection, and I realize we're getting it today because in most cases it's deputies that we see that come to help us. But is that the way it is? I mean, do we have to pay more? And that's probably a question more for the sheriff, because he has perspective on
the entire county,
what it takes to come in here and protect us. So.
Come on up, Sheriff.
So I'll defer the statutes regarding municipalities and requirements to provide police services to those. With the caveat of saying what I think you're looking for, can everybody hear me? I sometimes talk to real quiet. My understanding is municipalities are paying for that extra presence to enforce the codes that they pass as a municipality. And then it's just the increased police presence. Like I said, there's no doubt that a certain percentage of town residents' taxes go to public safety. In our case, in Valley County, it's $85,000. With that, and we could break it down 100 different ways. So I'll oversimplify it first. But one of the things we do as a sheriff's office is we provide a 24/7, 365 days a year dispatch service to the town of Stevensville. We also run your detention facility. The municipality can, by law, have its own detention facility or town jail, but we don't have any of those in Valley County. So, like I said, it seems $85,000 seems like a huge chunk of change. But right there, we spend on services provided without ever putting the deputy on the doorstep. If that makes any sense.
Thank you.
Well. I realize we have to have police protection, but we decide what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, to what level that we do it. And so,
Mr. Kraner, are you asking, is it as a hypothetical that because maybe there's a larger concentration of people in a smaller area, then does that justify more coverage? I mean, why is the Stevensville city limits so special that we need to have 25 or 24/7 coverage? Is that what you're asking? Why are we specialer, more special?
It is, but you can take that a little further to seem to be like people in a confined area are easier to protect than they would be spread out. I may be naive, but that's just expected to it. And I hear what he's saying in regard to the other services. But it still seems to me, just to get our municipal codes to be that we can use it and enforce them, that we're paying a tremendous amount of money to do that. And I just asked the question.
Thank you. Ms. Lowell, come on up.
Nancy Lowell, 211 Church. And I'd just like to say, I think you're getting the cart before the horse. According to your budget this year, your expenditures are $125,000 in the hole. And you definitely can't balance your budget by increasing the revenues. And I think, you're talking about five officers. You do know that in that case, it'll change from a township to a city, which creates a whole other bunch of problems. So I don't know what you plan to cut in order to have this. I mean, I know we need police coverage, but, going in with a deficit, I think you have a lot of cutting and a lot of thinking to do as far as your finances, because, it all sounds good, but you have to have the money, and you really can't depend on a bond. The way the school, it didn't pass, I wouldn't think about this one passing either. I mean, this town, whether people know it or not, it is poverty, and people are struggling, so thank you.
For clarification, having five officers doesn't change the classification of the town. We can remain in town with five police officers. We can have 100 police officers, and it wouldn't necessarily change the classification of the town. Our criteria is mostly based on population, and when we hit certain benchmarks for population, then we transition from town to cities of third, second, first class. I think in response to your question about the budget, we have worked on the budget to bring down what was intended to be spent out of cash reserves. And our thought process, I think, here, at least from the council's perspective, is that they'd like to know what the community wants for police protection so that they can either provide that with the resources we have as much as we can, or find the resources to do that. And that's partially for the reason why a levy discussion is on the agenda tonight, is because they requested that as an option. Further public comment. Chief Motley, you guys can come forward if you need to.
So, with the proposed contract with Kenny, is there a term? Is it a one-year contract, 10-year, 20-year? What does that proposal look like?
You're going to get your steps in today, Sheriff.
I could probably defer this one too, but I think that's all negotiable. I really do. Obviously, when I'm talking about hiring employees, I would push, and my preference would be at least a 5-year contract, because if we don't renew that in 5 years, I need to have a plan set up so I can absorb this, because what I don't want to do is hire somebody and then have to let employees go in 5 years. The other thing a 5-year does with the numbers that I'm talking about tonight is it lowers the cost a little bit per year, because we're talking about vehicles, some capital purchases that I can string out over a 5-year period versus a 1-year period. That makes sense. If I have to buy all that in 1 year, it will be able to get the rest of that contract.
Vicki Motley, 318 9th Street. My question is, with the sheriff's office, if they were to come in and take over, would the town then have to get rid of their municipal codes, or does the county then just have to enforce the codes that that we already have set up?
I wish I had a perfect answer for you on that, but my honest answer is I really don't know. It's something we have to talk about with the attorney's office, and again, talk about that at that allocation of resources, understanding that maybe there's some codes that a code enforcement officer or some county employee could handle. A lot of codes you don't necessarily have to be vested with law enforcement authorities to enforce, but you can do that at the town level.
Thank you.
Rebecca Lloyd, 323 Heritage. I just wanted to have a couple things to say. Previously, when I was a records clerk, that was my position with the police department, and due to the inaccurate budget, my position was let go. And we had more officers at the time as well, and I think it's important for us to have our own police department. So if we're looking at trying to create a model, add more, you know, whatever needs to get done, we need to look at it for the future, not for just 20 or 2 years. I was vested, I loved working there, everything got done. But then the budget, somehow, the money wasn't there. So I think if we do this, we need to do it right, so that other people, if they become vested in their job and to the town government, they need to know that you're gonna have their back as well.
Thank you. I think it's your turn, sir. Oh, almost.
I'm Claudia Decker at 1st Scholar Street. Bear with me, I'll put a bunch of notes in there for Ms. Carolyn. I was an officer here for a while in Rulu, and we only had 3 officers at the time. And revenue always seems to be the issue. But I'm looking at this in a common sense kind of way here. Our budget is $240,000 a year as proposed, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and we're going to be at least 270 with the sheriff's office, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we're going to give up 2.5 officers response time for when they can get here from Bell Crossing or Florence. Does anybody see a flaw in that? Why are we giving up an agency for more money out of our pocket with less response time potentially? Right now, if we have 3 full-time officers, that's response time is here right now. And with their on duty, the county's already responding to those off-duty calls when there isn't an officer on. If we give up our police department, what goes next? Road department? City hall? You guys? Why can't the county handle all? Why don't you guys? This is a town, this is part of our identity. We can't give this up. We need to make it work within our budget, that is for sure. I understand 5 officers is perfect for full-time coverage. That'd be ideal. And that's not in the budget right now. I understand maybe propose something for 5 years down the road. Does anybody know off the top of their head what $50,000 a year would do with the average household for the taxes account? 50K a year?
We can tell you what a $200,000 levy would do. On a $200,000 home for a $200,000 levy, your taxes would go up $208.34
a year.
A year.
Okay. Now, if you put that over, say, a 5-10-year plan, make us a 5-year department or a 5-year department over a 5-10-year period, and took that extra $30,000 down, turn this hard over to the sheriff's office. That doesn't make sense for that 50-50, that's 8-month program. Why are we spending 8 months? That's 4 months of a year, not 16. So where do you mean 8 months for 50%? That doesn't compute. That's not financial risk with us. It's not responsible. Kick that out of the county if they want to pick up that SRO program. Take that money and put it in the police department. 240? Move it to 270, because we're going to have to cover that no matter what the sheriff's office gets it. So you have a $30,000 a year raise, you have 2 more full-time officers, not 1.5. And so he can actually get qualified, good people in here, who don't have to be sent to the academy, make it attractive, and just keep our police department. Okay? If he's gone, the judge is gone, okay, we can maybe save some money there. The revenue, that money needs to be seen. If it's an ordinance, well, where is that money going to go? It's a town ordinance. It doesn't go back into the town coffers. It's going to go to the district court judge. It's going to go to their coffers, not ours. So there's revenue lost right there we got to look at. Okay? I'm not exactly 100% positive on that, but that's a really good possibility of losing that revenue stream. Okay? And right now, again, go back to that 24-hour coverage and response time. He's got, say, three officers and you're only covering, 120 hours a week? That's 120 hours of right now response. We go the other way, there's more money in our pocket, and that right now response that we're easy to go to. Well, we're up 8 Mile, and you know, we've got a verified guy, and the next guy doesn't have it, and we'll get there when we can. We got that for the rest of the month at 0.5 coverage now. We don't need to go back, and that, Steve, please don't get me wrong, because you know I love you and the sheriff's office, honestly, man. But it's just a matter of numbers and time. It doesn't make sense to hear about this one. You want to overhaul it, do something, that's different. Want to look at different avenues, but getting rid of it and going to the sheriff's office just doesn't make sense for our community. You know, one other thing I want to leave you guys with, and this is nothing, not one person up here, but every one of you can do something about it. Moved here from Eastern Montana in 1983. Hamilton has almost more than doubled in size in that time. They are pro-business. This town has never been pro-business. Maybe the council and the mayor could look at what we can do to be more pro-business and not make it so hard for businesses to get involved here. That's your tax base. That's what you can help grow this town and get us out of these problems and help with supplying more local government. Thanks.
To the chief here. The sheriff said you responded that 87% of the calls in Stevensville, and that's since January. How many men have you had since January? So we're working.
There's three.
You had three. So, and your budget's 100?
240.
140. So, we responded to 13%. The calls coming in?
Those are the calls through the dispatch.
Through the dispatch. Okay, I just want to clarify that.
Okay. Come forward, sir.
Walter Crumb again. Just a quick question. Is the current police department funded only by people living in the city limits?
Yes. It's funded through your property taxes within city limits.
And a levy causes that to go up if that cost increases.
Correct. Right now we're drawing the maximum mills that we're allowed to draw from the property tax base. So in order to generate more revenue off of property taxes, the citizens have to vote in a levy.
And is that a county election or just a city election?
Just a city election. Just the residents in town would vote for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Eckert.
So just to clarify that, then they have to vote for that. So if we disband the police department, no matter what, we got to go police at $30,000. So you're still going to vote for that.
No, it's budgeted for $240,000 right now.
Right.
So in essence, the sheriff can provide it for $270,000. So it's a $30,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we have to go to the city constituents and say, can you please give us $30,000 more to pay the sheriff's office? Right.
That's correct.
I'm
sure,
but that doesn't make sense.
Mr. Cruz?
So watching this over the last several years, we've had vandalism down at the park. We've had vandalism throughout Main Street here and there. I've watched police officers come in, we train them. And within a year or two, they're gone for somewhere else. They go for higher pay, wherever they may go. So I think we need to make some sort of a contract to keep those officers here longer. And if we pay for them to go to school, then we need to say, hey, if you go before your contract with our town is done, then you have to pay so much of that schooling back. I think that would keep officers here longer. And it's their contract. I believe, and I'm not for certain, that the Sheriff's Department, I think, possibly does that too. I think I've heard that, but I'm not 100% sure. But we need to do something to keep them here. My other point is that having only three officers, we really can't give up one half-time to go up to that school. If the Sheriff's Department would like to help out with that, I would say bring in one of those guys to do the SRO program and leave our three full-time officers here in town and not up at the school, because that one up at the school really doesn't do any good on the streets until it's summertime. So I think it just needs to be reworked a little bit before. I would really hate to lose our police department here and give it all up to the Sheriff's Department. Work out a deal until we can fulfill our police department at this point.
Thank you. Mr. Cruz.
Kemp Cruz, 369th Street, Stephenville. A couple of things. The budget for 2018-2019 is how much for the
$238,000 comes out of the general fund.
And all for 2017-18?
Total budget for fiscal year 18 was
$238,205. Okay. How much over are we?
I don't know that.
Okay. One of the things about the school resource officer, the town pays 50% of the school resource officer. 8 months out of the year, he's at school. We don't get to see the school resource officer very much. Okay? When the school resource officer is not at the school, the school resource officer is going to training and things like that, so I'm going to shift. So you don't get 50% of the work that you're paying for. And the same thing would probably be true for the Sheriff's Department if the Sheriff's Department is the school resource officer. I think part of the problem there might be that maybe the school should fund private security for the school. Let them deal with that issue there. Okay. A lot of schools do that across the country. Security for the schools. That's not a perfect solution, but it would save manpower for the town. Just something to think about. I'm looking at this with the Sheriff's Department. You get 7 days a week, 24 hour coverage. The $275,000. For $238,000, we're looking at six man days, right? 2 days, we're not getting having coverage right now.
It's a little bit more than that, but yes.
Okay, so that's basically six man days. Okay, three shifts, one man per shift. So, just something to consider. I personally would like to see our police department stay in, but I see your problem with the levy, $200 a year increase on property tax on a $200,000 home. May not seem like a lot of money to some people, but to some people it is because of the value of their home. They may want to pay $80,000 for a home and now for $200,000 for living on a fixed income, and you start adding about $15 or $20 more a month. That's a lot of money out of the pocket. And with the water rates going up again, so.
Further public comment. Come on up, gentlemen. There's plenty of you.
Marcus Sharkey, 203 St. Mary's Drive. I'd like to kind of explore something that the Secretary brought up a moment ago. I too remember a few years ago when we had two or three officers seemingly go through a revolving door, came in, went to training, came back, suddenly they were off to Seattle or something for greener pastures. But it is also my understanding that we don't pay our officers a rate of pay, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but we don't pay our police officers. officers a rate of pay that would keep them here. It's a no-brainer if you have to drive 25 miles and make another $4,000 a year, in my estimation. So we need to consider that, and I'm curious if perhaps that went into your budget considerations also when you're talking about how much our own police department is going to cost us. If you actually consider a pay increase for police officers, or if you're considering the current status. So
in regards to wages, an officer starts in our police department at $18.63. Our intent when we advertise positions is to add the caveat that depends on experience, but we do not exceed the threshold that council sets on an annual basis in wages and salaries. So we do have a range that's, obviously we don't go below 1863, but we also don't go above whatever the council's established at that time.
Well, I guess that begs the question, you know, how does that compare to the surrounding communities?
It's low.
Yeah.
Mr.
Eckert? You know, and the other thing I didn't bring up, we're looking at 270,000 that's left with. You guys are within detail. We're counting our half hour, we're on the top of shifts. So we're only getting 8,000. So we're paying the 270 to give us that extra coverage. Why aren't you here? The other thing, too, with deputies, if they're not going to be local, that's just a town. They're going to be somewhere that's 4 inches or one bigger. They're going to take that money away from Stephen's officers, more likely to live in town, get back here, go to New York, be working with, directly with the town. Okay, I mentioned that already about $80K that Bill brought up that we're already paying for those services. So when you look at 370 plus 80, we're already paying 350. So why don't we keep that 270 here? Give the police department a raise, just pull off officers in here, and then sign a 5-year contract, and move on to 5-year plan to expand the department.
Thank you. Does the council have any comment or any direction that they'd like to take at this time, given the public comment we've received?
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, sure, Bill. Come on up.
Bill Perrin, 503 Charles. I apologize for staying after this, but I think for us to be able to compare the proposals, I think the court plays a role in that. And so my thought was, is if we're talking $240,000 in the federal budget, what's the net cost of the court?
Stand by. We can give you a gross cost right off the bat. Kind of these upside down. Municipal court. Our appropriation this year was $55,000.
Okay, any questions?
It's like 13,000 is kind of what comes off the top of my head. It does not even come close to covering the $50,000. Fines are 16, budgeted at $16,000.
For next year?
No, that was for the 17-18 budget.
Okay, so that's what, $39,000? cost you then?
Correct.
Okay, so that brings you to $270,000 for court, the police department and court, according to your budget. Is that fair?
Yes, by removing the court entirely. Yes. That would save you the $30,000, which would then in turn let you pay the sheriff's office.
Okay, that's my question. The next question is what the sheriff is proposing then is $270,000, but then we would not have any court costs. Is that correct?
I don't know that. Nobody's spoken to the court system to find out if Justice Court or the district courts are going to.
Sheriff, do you know that?
Let me make sure I got the question right. Is,
well, I'm saying that we're talking about town, and the town is 240 plus 39 man for the court. So that's about $270,000. And this 270, you know, three officers, does that include that the courts would take care of the
misdemeanor crimes? Justice courts and then district courts would get the felonies, which they already get.
So that cost would be shifted off to the town.
So I was going to make one just closing comment because I thought we were wrapping up. But I want the council to understand I'm not trying to sell the sheriff's office services. I don't really have a preference on how we do it, but our goal is to provide consistent and even law enforcement across the county. Understand, no offense taken. For years, Conrad and I mean, I was a North County deputy for years. What I'll point out is yes, the town was able to cover all of their calls, but it was the sheriff's office covering those calls in the absence of a police officer. And I think what the point I want to make is clear tonight is that to a certain extent, we'll always be a good partner. Like I said, you might live in the town of Stevensville, but you're still a resident of Valley County. And that's important to me. But the model that we've created and somehow sustained over the years is not something that we can carry into the future. The county has the same problems the town of Stevensville has. Rising population, rising calls for service, and a slowly building manpower at the sheriff's office. So I think that's the most important thing I want to just get to the council is I'm certainly not trying to sell our services. My goal would be 24/7 coverage for every call for service and every investigation gets handled. And how we get there is really irrelevant to me. It's more important that we attain that goal. However, understanding what it takes to run a 24/7 agency, I understand the fiscal load attached to that. And we have several municipalities in the county. Only one of those is a true 24/7 operation. However, we have a smaller jurisdiction, smaller than Stevensville, two of them actually, that I do not answer initial calls for service unless deputies just happen to be closer. They handle all of their calls. And so that's the goal that I'm looking for. Or at least to present to you guys tonight is those options to how we get there.
Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Oh, this is sorry. More for Commissioner Chilcott. And I know you're just one individual of the commission. What is the commissioner's thought process on this whole issue by chance?
Well, obviously, the commission want to make you guys successful, want to make the police department successful. Sheriff's office has stepped up and is willing to help and assist. And once you understand that $270,000, even at that rate, would be very heavily subsidized rate. It takes 4.2 officers to run a full-time, 24/7 operation with one officer on, 4.2. That doesn't account for need time, vacation time, sick leave, those types of things. So to say we're going to offer 24/7 coverage for the cost of three officers is subsidized by the county. You know, we are partners. The sheriff's office is the best partner we guys have as far as providing the incarceration services, dispatch services, and dispatch goes far beyond just law enforcement. So we will help when we can, but again, as the sheriff said a moment ago, our revenues are always behind our demand. And so this offer they made, and we did discuss with the sheriff briefly today, and I think we have consensus that his numbers is solid and would support that. We have a good memorandum of understanding and a vocal agreement to address the expectation of both sides. Does that answer your question, sir?
Thank you.
Bill?
Okay, and now, it seems then the way it's playing out, as I'm understanding it, is that either way, it's about $207,000. If we keep it under the present budget, we add in the court, and if we pay the $270,000, the court's included. And so the numbers are almost even. So.
Chief Marble.
One thing that hasn't been mentioned that needs to be is that this discussion hasn't been had with the county attorney's office or with justice court. They're obviously going to have an influx if we go with the sheriff's office. So are they going to want to be compensated for that? It's entirely possible. Does that mean hiring another deputy county attorney? I don't know. But those conversations have to be had. So, you know, we're looking at that $270,000, that's true, but there probably is going to be other costs associated with that on the judicial and prosecutorial side of things. So take that into consideration as well.
Thank you. Sheriff?
I need to apologize to the chief because I didn't tell him this when I got here tonight. But I have had discussions with one of the justice court judges, the other one was gone, and also with the county attorney's office. And so understanding that this is something new, and there's going to be things that we just don't think about, but they are willing to not jump into this contract until we see what happens. And maybe 5 years down the road, like I said, that would be my preference. But 5 years down the road, maybe we have to reevaluate that. But certainly for this contract, the county attorney is willing to prosecute, understanding that they are due to felonies.
Sure.
So it's a misdemeanor caseload that they would be increasing, and then justice court, they're open 8 to 5, and that's when court happens. So what is the scheduling issue for them versus the manpower issue?
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'd look to the council to give us some direction, give the public an idea of where you'd like to move to, so that they can probably make their public comment more meaningful. Just one.
So, the judge gets $55,000, right?
No. The court costs us $55,000 in total expenditure.
What do we get for that?
Well, and mind you, we get $13,000 in revenue from fines and fees, so that, you know, that's $39,000, as Bill put it. So for that, you pay a judge $18,000 a year. She holds business or holds office hours generally at least 2 days a week, one day for court and the other for office work, and then you pay half of a court clerk to help manage that.
Yeah.
As you were, are you ending the public comment?
I know you've been waiting a long time, so if you'd like to give your public comment or wait until the council gives you an idea of what direction they're heading into, I'd like some direction from the council.
So make sure that you're not mistaking.
No, I'd like the council to give us an idea so that you folks can make your comment meaningful and make sure that you're commenting in whatever direction you choose. Council. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we contract services with the Valley County Sheriff's Office for service and rendering.
Is there a second?
Second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we contract for services with the Valley County Sheriff's Office. Discussion from the council. Mr. Michelson.
I have a question for Chief Marble. It's been brought up tonight that a lot of, since you're right here in town, the law enforcement is right here in town, you're home, you're right here. Everybody says, you know, it's spot on, instead of coming 20 miles, which would take 20 or 25 minutes. Didn't we just have an officer that was going back and forth from Pinesdale? Jessica? No.
Oh, she lived here in Stevensville.
Well, she's just outside of town.
Oh, she's living right outside of town? She wasn't living in Pinesdale?
No.
Okay. And one more question would be, if, I know this is a tough one, but if the levy fails, then where does a small town like this on a fixed income with fixed homes go going forward as far as keeping you two other officers going? I know we have to pay one way or the other, but can you answer that looking into that sooner if this levy doesn't go through?
Like I said, we may have to get creative with how we're doing business. I don't know if that's offering some other sort of incentives. I don't know. And I think it's also important to say, and I know you've got a motion on the table, but I think what we're trying to do here is to go one direction or the other, not say we're going to do it because we don't have a contract in front of us. So I think just to clarify that might be in the council's best interest to say we're making a motion to entertain the conversation to consider a contract for services with the Valley County Sheriff's Office. Just a clarification. But to answer your question, I don't know. That obviously has gone through my mind. If the public safety levy fails, what then? Well, I think that really is going to come from the Sheriff's Office, how they're going to react to that situation and what that's going to look like for us. I don't know, those discussions have to be had at that point. Basically, we have to set bridge when we come to it. So,
thank you.
So, Mr. Michelson, to clarify, I understand your motion, and I understand your intent, but would you like to clarify the wording of your motion at all to explain to the public what you're looking to do is entertain a contract? Obviously, a contract would have to come back to the council after it's been drafted. Unless you're satisfied with your motion as it is, I just don't think it gives the public a good understanding of what we're doing. Mr. Michelson.
Mr. Mayor, I was just reading it as you put it out on the agenda topic. I made the motion, and I didn't want to think I should mince the words any different than other one was written here.
Keep in mind, when I draft the agenda, I don't write the motion for you. If that's the expectation, then I'd be much more careful about how I word the agenda items. I think it's up to the council to create your own agenda or your own motion. I wouldn't rely on me to write it for you and have it on the agenda. I mean, if you're happy with the agenda as you stated it, and the public doesn't comment otherwise, then I'm fine with it. I think I understand the intent of your motion. I just thought for the public's sake, you may want to clarify. Mr. Michelson.
I'd just like to clarify that just the way the wording here is law enforcement services contract with the Valley County Sheriff's Department. Office. I don't think that can be any more clear. We're down to do we or do we not want to contract services for the Valley County Sheriff's Department? We can say yes, and we can work the details out later, or we can say no and go with what we have now and work on moving our police forward. With the levy in hopes that it does pass, and if it doesn't, then we'll get there when we get there, I guess. So that's how I read this tonight. Law enforcement services contract. I don't think there's any other way to get around it or move it down further down the road. I think we're here with a big crowd, we should decide.
Okay. Any further discussion from council on the motion? Council, or the motion is to proceed with contract for services with the Rock County Sheriff's Office. Okay, is there any public comment? Ms. Molly.
I just want to make sure that everybody, you thought through everything. I don't know as far as James and in his employment with the town, if there's sick leave that he would have to be compensated for, vacation time that would not be a part of the costs of switching to the River Valley County Sheriff's Office. I think that needs to be thought about. I think you need to think about and find out whether or not the you're going to have to buy out the judge because she's under contract. So I think there's a lot of things that it's hard to move forward with. Not sure. I think it's important that the town of Stevensville has a police department. I also think it's important that the school has a resource officer. It's been a huge asset to our school system to have a resource officer. They are not there 8 months. They're 187 days. That's what the contract is. So however you look at it. But I think it's important that no matter what way you go, that the resource officer is a part of that. Our school system is changing. Our country is changing. And I just think that you need to make sure that that part of it is also covered. Because it's important. But I hate to see it get rid of the police department.
Thank you.
Rebecca Lloyd, 323 Heritage Street. I just wanted to point out that I've been in Stevensville since 1999 is when I moved here. And even then, the police department was only small. And I've heard a lot of comments tonight about, well, why didn't Chief Marvel, you know, put more money here, put more money there? Isn't it the town council's job to fund revenue, find places, to get money to put it in other departments? I don't think it's just the chief's pure, you know, it's only his responsibility. I think it's everybody up here. And if this is for a public hearing to see what the town is thinking of, everything I've heard tonight so far has been everybody wants to keep the police department. So, Madison, I don't appreciate you shoving it so fast up to the front that it's just way too early. There's a lot of things that what if ends, and you're obviously set against it. I think you should open your eyes a little more.
Mr. Chilcott, I appreciate that everybody supports one direction or another, but if we could hold the applause, that help the meeting move along.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I, as a potential signer or a party to this contract, I would much prefer that the motion be entered into negotiations for an interlocal agreement with the County of Valley and specifically the Sheriff's Office. So we sit down, cross the table, come up with the expectations on both sides before we approve executing the contract with the county. I just think that going to make this process a whole lot smoother than just carve along with your hand into a contract that nobody really knows what the hell's in. So I think if we work together and come up with those terms and we have an expectation that are clearly defined, I think we'll have a lot more success if that's the way that the process works and that's the direction we ultimately go. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to retract my motion.
Okay.
And I would like to make a motion that we table this, that we further negotiate between the services between the Valley County Sheriff's Office and what our city has to offer as far as judges and all that other stuff that we just mentioned, Commissioner Chilcott.
Oh, okay. Before anyone seconds it. There's two actions in that motion. You're tabling it, but then you're asking us to move forward with negotiations. And so I guess if your intent is for us to talk to the county and enter into negotiation into a contract that is subsequently brought back to this body, then I'd suggest, or I would rather entertain a motion that the town of Stevensville move forward on negotiations for a contract of services with the River Valley County Sheriff. If that satisfies your needs, you can say so moved.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the town of Stevensville enter negotiations for a contract for services with the River Valley County Sheriff's Office. Any further council discussion?
Well, I know in our previous meeting that it was approved for me to attend the meetings with the sheriff, the chief, yourself, and I was kind of left out of the last one. Would I be allowed to be a part of this, or since council approved me to attend the negotiations?
And my understanding from that meeting was, from the council meeting, was is that you were withdrawing yourself from
that involvement. No, I refused from any comment or abstained from making comments, but the motion that was passed was actually that I be allowed to attend it. If you go back to the notes, it was voted on by the council that I was to be part of that. I just abstained from the conversations due to the asking of Mr. Groninger for me to recuse myself because he felt I had already made my mind up, which I hadn't. Okay. And that's where I made my statement in regards to James, and I've already apologized to James because what I said wasn't appropriate, but neither here nor there. So James and I have figured that out, but I would still like to be a part of this process that the council already voted me on. So.
Okay. Mr. Michelson.
From our budget meeting 2 weeks ago, it was brought up that we were on a pretty tight time restraint because of the levy. We have a deadline there.
I don't think that the time restraint was had less to do with the levy and more to do with the adoption of the budget. We have until August 20th to put something on the ballot.
August 20th?
August 20th. But I don't know as though that necessarily factors into this. I think the issue with the contract is that River Valley County needs to adopt a budget, and we need to adopt a budget, and we need to know what numbers to put into that budget and how to budget. That's why there's the haste or the press. Any other council comment on the motion? Public comment on the motion. Mr. Cruz.
Yes, it seems to me like you have two motions on the table because Councilmember Michelson needs to withdraw his motion. I believe that calls for a council vote to allow him to withdraw that motion according to Robert's rules of order.
He didn't amend it.
He retracted his motion and then continued on. So if the council would like to vote on withdrawal of the motion, we can facilitate that. But I think it's effectively been done. The council would like to proceed. Further public comment. Mr. McCrum.
For benefit of the council, could we see how many people here support keeping the police department in Stevensville?
Should make the meeting faster. Okay, public comment, come on forward. Tony, if you allow the gentleman, come on forward.
Sorry, go ahead.
Eric Lucas, 693 Ambrose Creek Road, and getting rid of Stevensville Police Department, you gentlemen are going to make a mistake. You say 5 years with the Sheriff's Department. In 5 years, this town will be worse than Victor. It will be worse than Corvallis without our local police department. All I have to say.
Ms. Eckert.
When you're stating your motion right now, are you saying, you want to do like a 5-year contract with them, or are you saying we want to go into some sort of a contract with them until we can get our police department going again, until we can get new employees?
Well, from what I made a motion on with the budget meeting 2 weeks ago, I was understanding we were on a July deadline to get this. If we did decide to go and stay with Gene Markle, then we would have a deadline to do the levy, which I thought was July, but I was just told by Mayor Dewey it's August now. So we're in a wider frame now, so we don't have to decide tonight. That's why I brought it up originally. It wasn't that my mind was made up. We are on a time constraint too, as far as our budget getting done, as Mayor Dewey said, as far as the Sheriff's or Valley County's budget getting done, and you got a mill levy possibly sitting on here with services if you stay with the town. I mean, these are all things that we have to look at. And these are all things that are, you know, trust me, these are our choices.
I understand that, but I also can, I'm also looking at, we've gone through the past, what, 3-4 years now of several of these people saying, we've got problems down at our skate park, we've got problems down at our park, and we need that police presence. If we do not have that 24-hour police presence or even 3/4 of it, it's gonna get worse. And I have nothing against the sheriff's department, but if we don't have, you know, I know a lot of people don't like reading or have, you know, bad taste in their mouth or whatever. She was a good gal. And I can tell you that I watched every night her going up and down these streets. And she deferred a lot of that. She got rid of a lot of that. If we cannot get rid of our police department, we would be making a huge mistake. So if you want to go in for, say, a year and say, give this police department a year to get up and going again to work with the sheriff's department, that would be fine, but not get rid of them.
I think to clarify the council member's motion, the intent is to enter negotiations of the contract, and that contract's going to come back to the public body no matter what. So that contract may say 5 days, that very unlikely, but that contract may say 5 to 6 years. Based on the comment and what's doable with the sheriff's office, that's what we bring back to this body for adoption. But I think based on Mr. Michelson's original motions, it sounded like he's looking more in the long term versus, because there's an expense to trying to get your police department back up on its feet and pay for a contract for services. And I don't know as though we have the cash to make both happen. Further public comment?
My name is Mark Heller, 203 Central Avenue. I'm speaking about expectations of service, going back to what Mr. Perrin said. I've heard a lot about the school resource officer, but it's not from the school people. I'm only one vote, but before I vote, I want to hear what the school has to say about the resource officer. Is it enough? Is it too much? Probably not enough, but I want to hear that before I cast my vote. I hope other people are feeling the same way. If there's a high school principal or board member here, I'd like to hear from them.
Sarah, would you be willing, or would you like me to defer to the chief? Come on forward. I thought they were going to escort you up here. They all stood up.
I'm Sarah. I'm the only one on the little school board. And obviously, I don't want to speak for everyone on the school board, but it's definitely the intention of the school that we want a resource officer, and definitely don't want to see that go away. It's been a huge asset. And on a personal note, I think it would be an incredibly huge mistake to get rid of our police department. I think that this is a, as I said at our last meeting that we had, I think it's really important that we look at all aspects, and like I said last time, if we actually fully fund our police department, I think a lot of the issues would be resolved. I think if we properly funded our police department, we would have people that would stay, and it wouldn't be revolving doors. And for any council meeting I've ever come to regarding the situation, it's always been, we need to do something different, we are a revolving door. We keep having the same problems, people coming in, people coming out, and we keep looking at different options. And I think that we keep looking at the same option, and I'm proposing we look at a different option and definitely look into the avenue and try out spending that money locally here. I love our sheriffs. Absolutely, 100% support them as well. But I think that in the long run, at some point, as our community continues to grow and grow, the burden that we already place on the county is going to grow, and at some point maybe we're going to have a brand new police department, and I'm sure that our officer we currently have probably isn't going to sit around and wait to find out if he has a job in 2 years or possibly with the county or whatever else, and so then 100% restart would be extremely difficult, and we'll lose a lot of valuable information.
situation. So I hope you consider listening to what everyone here is saying, and so far it is don't go the county route.
Thank you. Chief, would you like to speak to the merits of the SRO program in regards to law enforcement versus the school?
So, the superintendent did have a conversation with me about the 50% expenditure that they are currently making. I requested a 75% expenditure from the school, and he basically said that's not possible to do right now. In order to have that person there for that 75% of the year that they would be there, paid for entirely by the school. So his suggestion was to see what it would look like to have a literal 50% officer there. And basically what that would mean, you know, the officer would be there Monday through Friday, but would be there essentially 4 hours. And how that would break out, I don't know, but they would leave there, do other activities, whether that's patrol or answering calls for service. But it would be 4 hours of school resource officer activities, whether that's instruction or, you know, helping development to develop security policies, and then 4 hours of working for the town in that capacity. That's what he suggested, to see what that would look like. I think that a school resource officer that's fully involved within the school, personally, could use that entire 8-hour shift doing school things, but I don't know. I mean, we could see what that would look like, and then if it needed to bump up, I think we'd have a valid argument to say, hey, look, the school resource officer is not getting enough done for the school during the day just with these 4 hours. I think the school would probably say, okay, well, then we need to fund that 100%. So, but that was the suggestion that the superintendent made.
Thank you. Further public comment. Mr. Sharkey.
I've enjoyed hearing the questions and discussion amongst the people in the audience, but what's probably been more noticeable than what I've heard from that is the silence coming from the podium. I'd really like to hear you people discuss why you feel one way or the other about what we're about to propose. That includes you, Mr. President.
Sure. Ms. Eckert.
Can I ask one more question?
Absolutely.
Did I hear that the Sheriff's Department was willing to take on the SRO situation? Is it a possibility that our police department take care of our police department and you put in somebody as an SRO?
That's certainly a possibility. It's not something we discussed. And I certainly would not put either the school district or the board or myself or the county in a position to say one way or the other. I'm certainly a possibility to work that out. But again, that's a whole different issue.
Oh, absolutely. But it's something that's not off the table. Okay.
Mr. Howell.
I just have a question. It says up there some municipal ordinance not enforced. Would any municipal ordinances be enforced if there was a contract with the county?
Again, I think what we'd have to do, and I just have to admit, I've never sat down and looked at municipal codes or ordinances. But I do know there are some, and I won't even say it's in Stevensville, but I will say in other municipalities, there are some codes that I think are enforced by a code enforcement officer versus a law enforcement officer. So not to be vague, I'd like to answer your question, but I just don't know. I don't know what those ordinances are.
Council discussion.
I'm wondering if
Council discussion. Mr. Smith.
It comes down realistically to a budget. We are presently, if we accept as a council our mayor's budget right now, as it is proposed, we'll be $125,000 in the hole next year. That's changing nothing. We have proposals from the fire department that are increasing a little bit of their budget. We have the police department that has done very well with their budget proposal of bringing it in under $238,000, but we're still have a water and sewer that needs to be taken care of. We still have streets that need to be taken care of, sidewalks, trees, other issues within the community that are all part of what we provide to the community. So it comes down realistically to what do we cut? Again, we're looking at making a proposal to go and tax our community even more to benefit the police department to get us up, as the chief says, to what isn't perfect at all, he even says it, but to get us up to speed, which is five officers, which would put us in a generalized, in our, as you said, what, in the 2000s or something like that, realistically, compared to being in the, you know, 80s, shall we say, or thereabouts. So, you know, it realistically comes down to numbers. And this is why we requested all of you to be here, to get your opinions, to get your statements, and get your support for Chief, to where we can look. We can get the numbers from the sheriff. We can do apples to apples again with everybody. And we can say, what do you want? Because it isn't my decision. I make decisions based on what you, the constituents, tell us. So that's why I'm here. I'm here to bring forward a proposal that all of you can look at, and you can give me your opinion and change my mind one way or the other to make the right decision for all of us. And again, we're getting to a mill levy. We just had the bond issue for the school that failed. It's coming back again in October. So now we're going to be competing against a bond issue for the school and a mill levy for our police department. So we're just trying to be realistic within our budgetary means. Again, we all have a budget that we live by. At least my wife makes me live by the budget. Trust me, I get a dollar a week from her. So, but that's what it comes down to. What do we cut as a community? Again, his budget, the mayor's budget that has been proposed, is with no raises for anyone within the town establishment, from any employee, whether it's the police department. Here we are talking about trying to raise the police salaries to retain officers. That doesn't account for that. So realistically, that $238,000 number, if we want to retain officers, Chief, what would it be? I mean, realistically. So this is why we're making these hard discussion and choices. It's not we want to get rid of things. We want to provide the services that everybody is accustomed to. But when reality comes, we're 125 this year. Next year, we're even more. The year after that, we're even more. Eventually, we're so in debt, we don't have a police department. We don't have a road department. Our water and sewer is taken over by somebody else, the EPA, whoever, and we are now paying them to run everything. It just, in reality, we need to start tightening our belt. And that's my perspective on why we're here. And it frustrates me because, again, everybody wants to say it's this council. Well, what people don't understand is it's the previous council and mayors that have put these councils and previous councils in the situation that we're all in. What I do really doesn't have effect on you until years down the road with these decisions. That I lock you into a payment on your bond or your mill levy. That's when you really realize it. And that's, as you asked me, that's my perspective on why we're here, Mr. Sharkey, is to let everybody out there know the situation we are in, let everybody know what is going on in our community, and get the best input and best decision that makes us all happy, to be honest. That's what I'm here for.
Mr. Michelson, if I may, I'd just like to clarify a few points that Mr. Smith made. In regards to the budget and at that the mayor's proposed budget, the initial budget you saw, which was a preliminary proposed budget, was $125,000 and change in the hole. After that initial budget meeting, based on the feedback you gave me, I amended that budget. I changed the proposed budget that the mayor gave, and by eliminating any increases to salaries and making cuts elsewhere, including capital expenditures, that budget balanced. We did not dip into the reserves. We maintained our cash reserve. The latest figures don't totally match into that, but I want to be clear, I did not wholly support or propose $125,000 shortfall in a budget. That was for you to understand where we sit with the department head's requests. The schools, at least the superintendent in his conversations with me, has indicated that the school is not going to rerun the bond issue in this fall. They don't see it advantageous, and they're reevaluating within themselves to figure out when the best time to bring a bond forward again would be. To speak on that, to whether or not we keep the police department and just get that out of the way. I've obviously become very intimate with this issue in our conversations with the sheriff and a commissioner or two, as well as the chief and the finance director. I can't say at this time that I support a contract for services with Ravalli County Sheriff's Office. I'd like to exhaust all of our options within the municipality first, because I do see the logic in once you remove it, it's extremely difficult to get it back. And I cannot wrap my head around the amount of cash it would take to reinstate a police department, especially at the staffing level that it sounds like we're trying to achieve. It's impermissible. I just don't see how we can do that. And so I would like, under my leadership combined with that of the chiefs, to exhaust all options first before we exercise this contract with the sheriff's office. I'm not saying that it's going to be cheaper by any means, and it's certainly probably going to be harder. I think the sheriff's office is kind of the quick exit, but I think that's also a disservice to our public. What I'm hearing, not only in this room but elsewhere, is that the police department is an important piece to this community's identity, and they want to keep that. So, obviously for those reasons, I don't support a contract at this time. However, that's not to say that I wouldn't consider it down the road. Mr. Michelson.
I'd like to say for myself that I brought this up last year. I brought it up with the previous mayor, Jim Cruz, and I was chastised over it, but it was strictly over the budget. Tried to get the police budget in line. It's been out of line on 3 out of the last 4 years. And had nothing to do with this performance. Now this year, from a budgetary standpoint again, we were over, so I brought this discussion up again, but it wasn't just because of that, it was because of the situation we're in now. And it may sound like I want to outsource, but I listen to everybody out here. When everybody out here is unanimous and I want to stay with Chief Marble, that's how I roll. When everybody out here wants to look at outsourcing, then it leaves us no choice. My vote is what you people out here send a message back to me, whether it's 1 or 2, 3 people or 45 people in here. That's our job as council members, to keep our ears open. I take it kind of personal when some people get up here and say your minds are already made up. No, it isn't. That's why I have the discussion tonight, is to see which way and look at our options. That doesn't mean that I want to outsource, move on. It's a good, steady, it's called democracy. It's what we have to, a tool to keep our minds going forward and look at other options, because 6 months from now, he might not have maybe one officer. He doesn't have a crystal ball. And I know Sheriff Holton said that he'll still give us 24/7 coverage, and that's great. That's why at the beginning, when I said law enforcement services contract with Ravalli County Sheriff's Office, from the consensus in here, my mind was kind of already made up. That's why I thought, let's bring it to a vote again. But then Mr. Chilcott comes up and said, I'd like to table this. going to negotiations. So I would like to myself bring it before a vote, and from the consensus in here tonight, let's move on. Thank you.
Ms. Holcomb.
Everybody knows this is my third term being up at the council. I have always fought for the Stephensville Police Department. In every budget, I've always asked, can't we find any money to have more officers? My vote has always been with our local police department, always.
Ms. Parker.
At the last council meeting that we had, James had made a comment up on the top to have an option to go ahead and look at what we had. Listen to what everybody wants here. I think it's very important. We do keep our small town, but that's not for me to decide. It's for a council to decide, for our public to decide. I think as a town, we can come together and we can make it work. We just need to figure out how to move
forward. Any further public comment? Stereo. Okay, if there's none, oh, excuse me. Ms. Marble, come on forward.
I would just like to say that not as a spouse, but as a member of the community and a taxpayer, I would urge you guys to think about the future, that if you do go with the contract by 6 years, what happens then? If they say, no, we're not going to go and we're not going to service you guys, I mean, they will have to somewhat. But like you said, Mayor Dewey, what's going to be the cost of rebuilding a police department? It's going to be phenomenal costs. So just think about that for the future, that, you know, if the contract doesn't work out later down the road, it's going to be big cost.
Just as another comment, I failed to incorporate in my previous comments and to give the public some justification as to where my mindset is. And mind you, if the council chooses to move forward on a contract just because I didn't necessarily support it at this vote doesn't mean I wouldn't treat it fairly. However, I think that our community is obviously faced with at a time where, as the chief put it, we've been throwing this term around, we've kicked the can down the road. We've run out of road, and now it's time to pay. Obviously, this is a conversation we'll have later in the agenda as to whether or not we're willing to pay. But it looks like, based on the numbers that have been thrown around tonight, that we aren't that far off base in providing police protection at an effective cost for this community. So I see the benefits to contracting. But I don't want to use that option and then have to reinstate that. To go back to my point, if you want a police department and you want it staffed, you should decide what you want it staffed at. If you're fine with the status quo of the four full-time equivalents that we have on staff currently, then we need to know that. But if you expect 24/7 coverage from the town of Stephensville, then we'd like to hear your ideas on how we generate the revenue to make that happen. And not just, I don't want to just hear the ideas from the public, but I'd also love to hear them from the council as well. Because that's what you're elected to do, is to bring those ideas forward. I've obviously brought mine forward. So if there's no further council comment, and there's no further public comment, then we'll proceed with a vote. All right, I see no hands. Councilmember Barker.
No.
Councilmember Holcomb.
No.
Councilmember Smith.
No.
Councilmember Michelson.
No.
Motion fails unanimously. Let's take a break. I'm thirsty. Let's take a 5-minute recess.
Where would that money come from? So you would
just maintain the school for employees. We have to find new items. Basically. Back together, continue on with the rest of the business tonight. If Ray Smith is out front, would somebody please holler at him? And where did everyone go?
Hit that gavel.
They needed a 10-minute break.
Well, they only get 5. We've only been here 2 hours, you guys. Is Ray still in the bathroom instead?
We're worried about the next two.
Yeah. We'll wait. Yeah, if he, I thought Vicky went to look for him, but.
But you know, when it's cold, I drink so much more water. So I put lots of ice in it. And it stays cold for 24 hours. So those are not possible. Can't be too narrow.
We're waiting on you.
You might want to stop eating so much.
All right. Continue with the rest of the business. We'll move on to new business, agenda item A, a discussion decision on a general fund mill levy increase to address the police department staffing and coverage. At the, whichever it was, 6/14, June 14th, the budget workshop, this police department discussion came forward again, and based on the council's discussion, you asked for a mill levy to be discussed. And so that's what I've brought forward to you tonight. Scroll through that page, Brittany. I incorporated some of the slides, go to the next one, that were at the public safety budget workshop, for those of you who weren't able to attend, to show the expenditure appropriation amounts out of the general fund. For the police department. I'll note, we've thrown the $240,000 number around this evening. That's the general fund portion of the police department's budget. There's another section of the budget that's provided by state funding for, since we're not a part of the state police officers retirement system. So that kind of shows you the overview of where public safety sits in the budget and where the money's going. And then the next slide you'll see on the screen is kind of a breakdown of each year's budget for the police department. You'll see, Brittany, if you go just a little bit more. There we go. The gold bar is the total budget that the police department had that fiscal year. And this goes back to 03, 04, when we had the history in the system. And some of those numbers may or may not be incomplete, but at least you can see the most recent history. The red bar shows you what was spent, so you can see the years that the police department went over budget or went under budget at any given fiscal year. And then just to show you the relationship to the entire budget versus salaries, you can see the portion of that budget that is in salaries, and that's the blue bar there. Gives you some background and some idea of where our budget has gone down and increased over the years. Brittany, if you'll scroll to the next, not this one, but the next one. Go, keep going. Bear with us here. This is kind of the staffing summary that was proposed at that budget workshop. And in total, we have a 3.5 full-time equivalent net in that department, with the police chief, a patrol officer, a school resource officer, and the clerk evidence tech. These figures you see on here, the 50,000 and the 356, honestly, those are just numbers that were punched into a calculator shorthand quickly just to kind of give us a ballpark range. We may be within, you know, $10,000 there. And to give you an idea of the size of our community, since I think sometimes we maybe lose touch with that, based on the 1.33 annual growth projection, we're estimated 2018's population is at 2,010 people. So we've bumped that threshold now, where we're at the 2,000 mark. Go to where it says mill levy exercise, Brittany. And this was just an exercise we did at the budget workshop. This isn't live, I'm not able to edit it, but what we did do at the workshop was we were able to go in, and show, I don't know, if you can, back that back a little bit so it can be seen entirely. I guess it's okay. We put the $200,000 figure in there, and there was some debate as to whether the $200,000 mark or $250,000 was more appropriate. I just wanted a figure in there to give the public and the council an idea of what the impact of a mill levy will do to the property taxes on certain valued homes. So that's there, and I guess I'd leave it up to the council to provide further direction as if they want to proceed with a mill levy or not. And speaking with the county this afternoon, just to make sure that everything was finalized and we were okay, if the council chose to proceed tonight, we do have time to put this on the ballot. We have until August 20th to have the ballot language finalized and have our public hearings completed. So keep in mind, there will be some meetings held, there will be public hearings to hear the public, and obviously if you proceed with the levy, we'd hold informational meetings on a regular basis to help the public understand what the impact of the levy would be. It's up to the council to decide if this is a if this is just increasing our general fund mills, or if you'd like to run it named as a public safety levy and restrict the money that comes in on that mill or on that levy. So I'd look to the council for further direction or insight.
Well, I wouldn't see why we would want to not make it a public service, because that's where the funding's going to, because that's who needs the funding. I mean, not to say the fire department, the streets. I mean, are we going to do it? Because again, this was to take care of the police issue solely. It doesn't really do anything to increase our budget, shall we say, other than take care of the police, and that's what we're trying to do at this point. If we try to make it where we can just put it into the general fund, then we're going to get to a point where we may be spending it somewhere else instead of where we told the people, the police department. So I think we need to be specific with what we say.
Okay. The other thing I'd just to bring up for clarification's sake, this question was asked earlier. When we covered the staffing summary, that was what's in the proposed budget. This mill levy increase is not in the proposed budget. So as the budget stands essentially today, these positions are in the budget and they're funded. However, the two of the mill levy would add additional officers to that staffing in hopes to bring us up to at least 5 officers and a police clerk. So we'd have 6 full-time equivalents, and keeping in mind the reimbursement of 50% from the school district of the SRO, that's been kind of taken into account as we throw these numbers around. So, council? You want to say something, Bob? You look like you're spinning. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. I can make a motion to put the general fund mill levy increase to address the police staffing and coverage on the ballot this fall.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to proceed with the mill levy to address coverage and staffing issues in the police department. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Any discussion from council? Would Mr. Michelson, would you like to give us an idea of the dollar amount of that mill levy, so the public has an opportunity to, or are you leaving that open-ended to hear what people think?
The dollar amount would be what you proposed here, I think.
Okay, and just to be clear, my $200,000 isn't necessarily what I propose the levy to be. It's an exercise, but I do think it's an accurate number that you can utilize to use a levy. I think that it would sufficiently do the objective that we're trying to accomplish. So, public comment or council comments? Ms. Lowell.
I'm Nancy Lowell, 211 Church, and I am very, very much against
this levy. I think the town got along very, very well for many, many years on 65 mils. And in the last probably 6 years, you've maxed it out. And, you know, there comes a time when you have to quit your spending. And I think a spending freeze should have been put on the town months ago in order to recoup some of the funds that you're short. But I think it's very easy to hope that it would pass and it's easy money, but then you have to figure out the formula for staying in balance every year with the budget. You know, you just can't keep raising the mill levy and raising it, because I don't think people can afford it.
Thank you. Any further public comment on the mill levy increase? Mr. Perrin.
Bill Perrin, 503 Charles. Okay, so then, because I understand this, that it's going to be earmarked for the police department to use.
Correct.
It won't be public safety levy, because it'll be just for police. Is that correct?
That's my understanding from the council.
Okay. So then, that would move, if in fact when that budget's instituted, that would move us from 270,000, including the court, to $470,000. Budget. And that would be the full 200,000 then would be given to the police department to use for additional officers.
Correct.
And an officer costs us how much? Approximately?
Roughly, is the chief around? Because he can give us the best. I mean, and yeah, if he would, this is an important conversation for him to be involved in. Chief, if you would you speak to what the cost of an officer is to get us going? I think, you know, we threw the $50,000 number around. I don't know as though that's, I mean, that's kind of more of a ongoing cost as a routine cost, but I think we're including in this mill a number of other costs to get us up and running.
Just for salaries, it's 51,538 with roughly the 33% benefit ratio, which everybody uses. So 51.5 is the initial cost just for salaries. For outfitting an officer, you know, it depends on whether that person needs to go through the schooling, because you lose them for 3 months. And you have the field training portion of time. So generally, we throw out a $10,000 mark on that to say we get them outfitted, we get them trained for around $10,000.
And that's one time.
That's a one-time
cost.
Yes, and I do think that we definitely need to go down the road of the contract, you know, that what other jurisdictions do.
For officers.
Right, yeah, 3 year. Most places, it's a three-year contract that's prorated over that period of time. So say they do 2 years of service, they would have to pay, you know, whatever that would be at the end, one-third, I guess, of the cost associated with sending them through basic and so forth. Generally speaking, the contracts don't cover lateral entries, and those are the people that are already certified as officers. So they come to work and they leave a week later, they can leave. It's possible we can talk about contracts for limited funds that are expended in those scenarios, because it does cost money to get a vest and, you know, uniforms and so forth. And oftentimes those aren't transferable between officers, so that's something that we can entertain. But yeah, the initial cost is right around $61,000 for an officer to get them ready to go in their mouth. That does not include infrastructure fee, you know, costs and so forth. But if we're augmenting, you know, if we're adding to our force, you know, we'll have to discuss those more in depth. I think it would behoove the town to really consider, as far as vehicles go, obviously comprehensive vehicle replacement policy, but to really look at the contracts that you can have with various suppliers.
Sure.
Ford does things, you know, where you're spending X amount of dollars per year on that lease or that contract. At the end of the contracting period, you generally spend a dollar if you own the vehicle outright. You know, setting up a rotational schedule for those types of things through our CIP would be advantageous. So the costs overall, when you're looking at establishing that infrastructure, and like I said before in the budget meeting, you know, it's literally impossible to train one officer, or more than one officer at a time, rather. You just can't do it. So you can't hire everybody at once, even if you do get a levy. I mean, and that's why I suggested a progressive levy. It wouldn't be as much of a burden on the taxpayers initially. It would be broken out over X amount of years to get us to that point, however many officers we want to get. So we're going to be looking at the costs associated for infrastructure, the costs, you know, the capital side of things, the costs for employing that person. We also need to project through that course of longevity, whatever that may be, there's going to be inevitably raises, you know, depending on their levels of training and, you know, cost of living and things like that. So those have to be factored in as well. And I don't know what that would look like. That's more of an April question, I would suppose.
Sure.
So, but to just ballpark it, I was looking at probably somewhere in the neighborhood, if we had five full-time officers, not including me, that's five patrol officers and a full-time clerk, that is going to be, with those variables, between $400,000 and $500,000. But again, that's long term. That's at the end of the project period, if you will.
Sure.
Because there's no way we can get there right away. I mean, it's just impossible. And you don't want a new officer training a new officer. I mean, that you're absorbing tremendous liability if you do that. So it literally puts it upon the chief to train whoever is coming along. So if we do a lateral, if we're looking for somebody coming in laterally, another agency that's sort of certified in Montana, we can cut that time frame down considerably. But we still have to go through the FTO process, which is, like I said before, 14 to 16 weeks, depending. But we don't have a 3-month academy to send them to either. So, I mean, you got to assess, you got to look at how are we going to attract these people and who are we attracting as our core.
Let's let Mr. Perrin finish with his comments.
Okay, so then as I'm gathering from what Chief Marvel just said, we're talking about 7 FTEs, the end result.
My intent in entering this levy with the figure that is noted in here is that we would only add 2 additional officers at this time. So it would be the chief, the 2 officers we currently have, and then 2 additional officers. So 5 officers, the chief included.
Okay.
5 officers, the chief is included in that count.
Okay, so that's 6 FTEs rather than 7.
Correct.
Okay. So then 200,000 then we would use, and I'm assuming over a period of time including raises and capital and stuff, that'll all end up being utilized.
Initially, I suspect that we won't utilize all of the cash towards operating expenses, and that some of that funding should be set aside in order to do vehicle replacements, because our fleet is at its end, and we need to do some significant upgrades there. And if we're going to bring on 2 additional officers, it's just going to add to the problem.
Okay, so your point is that it would be 6 FTEs, not 7.
Correct.
If you want the 24/7 coverage with that exception to be able to fill in, you know, when somebody's sick or on vacation, it would have to be 7. But I think we could do tremendous things with an additional 2.
Sure.
I mean,
and that's the intent, is not to go too far overboard, but just to kind of get us into this spot to make sure that this works for us.
I ran a little bit, as I see it, if you figure 50, 2 weeks, you got to have the vacation when you figure coverage is. Mm-hmm. And so I figured 4.38 officers to cover 24/7. Now that's not, that's just patrol.
Right, and that's where that five comes from. You know, we're not
going to hire. We can't find it.
Okay, but that's five, not six. But then that's a chief officer in addition to that.
Okay. Mr. Smith.
Realistically, do you feel the $200,000 on a mill levy would be an appropriate amount to sustain this for the lifetime of what needs? Because again, you said raises, again, all of that. So would it not be realistic to have a realistic number instead of just throwing 200,000 as a number? Should we not be more number crunching to where we actually have that realized number to go with?
Absolutely right. And when we sit down to talk about this collectively and determine what that number will be, there will be algorithms to figure that out. I mean, that's not my expertise. I think the 200 mark, just from my understanding of how all of this works, is fairly accurate. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, we've really got to sit down. Just like we did with the zero-based budgeting, we've got to sit down and say, okay, if we're adding two more FTEs here, we need to look at exactly, okay, it costs this much for an additional firearm. You know, a holster, a vest, all of these things. We need to identify those exact costs. So, yeah, absolutely. When we sit down and figure this out, come up with a formula, determine what that appropriate levy would be, the numbers are going to change. I don't think they're going to change that drastically, but I think they will. Does that answer your question?
Kind of, sort of.
To give you an idea of the process, I think tonight the decision is a do we or don't we run a levy? And with it, with kind of a ballpark idea, we'll bring a resolution of intent forward at a subsequent meeting, more than likely the next meeting, to really show exactly what we intend to do with the levy. So you know, it may be $200,000 or it may be $197.33. We don't know. But the $200,000 number wasn't just pulled out of air. I mean, it's based on what we currently have in our budget and what it would take to add that personnel to it.
So it's accurate. It's in the range, but it will fluctuate some as we really dial it in. Okay.
Further council comment, Mrs. Holcomb?
So to say it does get passed tonight, to put it out there, we really need to start looking forward just in case this does not pass. It fails come this fall. So we need to start really thinking realistically, just in case.
Well, I mean, we need to look at those two scenarios. It passes, it doesn't. And figure out how we're going to deal with both. If it doesn't pass, we're gonna have to have some conversations, probably more realistically, initially at least, the sheriff and I have conversations about how we're going to make this work. Because he's absolutely right. Regardless of how this is funded, we still have a job to do. And how are we going to best accomplish that? Between he and I, we'll have to figure that out. And then, of course, we'll obviously let everybody know how that pans out. There'll be more discussions about, you know, whether they're looking at coming to the city and saying, okay, you know, the county's going to need to have this for to cover dispatch services because we're utilizing their services this amount. You know, I mean, there's a lot of conversations to be had should that happen. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be a lot to talk about as this progresses. But yes, I think we do need to identify, you know, pitfalls and ways to effectively manage this in both scenarios. And we can do that. you know, collectively with the sheriff's office too. It's, we'll get it done.
Okay. Any further council comment? Any further public comment? Mr. Sharkey.
So we're all aware of the recent school bond failing. One of the things I was impressed with in that drive was that they got out and they sold the project to various organizations. I was at one of the council meetings when they made a presentation. And that was an excellent presentation. I went away from that presentation thinking, yeah, they need this money. This is not frivolous. And so I went home and I decided to go for it. I think if you come up with this and then you just sit back, wait for election day to come and go, it's not going to pass. You guys got to get out and sell this. It means going to the senior center for lunch, explaining what it's all about, whatever. Go up to a school board meeting, whatever. You need to put some effort into this. Otherwise, I just put that good money that's not going to happen.
Thank you. Chief Marbury.
To expound on what Mr. Sharkey had to say, I think he's right. I think it's imperative that we put together an educational packet of information for every taxpayer to say, you know, because I've been looking at this for years. I mean, I know what our calls for service are. I know how much time it takes to do a felony investigation and how much time it takes generally to do a misdemeanor investigation. You know, I mean, we've got to be able to put together, okay, here's what we're up against currently, here's how that will change as we augment our police force. When those things are presented, I think it'll be more palatable for people, because I think they'll understand it. The reality is right now, they don't see what's really going on, you know? And I've had people comment to me, well, your truck's at City Hall all the time. Do you just sit around there drinking coffee all day? No. I mean, as many of you know, most of my day is spent either in an investigation or dealing with some sort of administrative issue or whatever. I mean, the people need to know really what it costs to do business and the business that we're confronted with. The calls for service, the amount of time. So I think when we get out there and sell it, that needs to be a component of it as well, to say, hey, this is what's really going on here, so that people fully understand.
Any further public comment? Okay, before we call for the vote real quick, I'll just make a couple of points, and that is that certainly I put a lot of thought into whether or not this item should come forward on the agenda. And regardless, you asked essentially for it in the budget workshop, and so that's why it's here tonight. I do think it's an effective method to fund the goals that we've set forth tonight in retaining our police department and building it. And as I said earlier, I think it's probably time for the community to really evaluate and find out if we're going to pay for police protection or not. With that said, and to Ms. Lowell's point, is that we need a spending freeze on city funds. In the proposed fiscal year 19 budget, we started at zero. We took their budget completely away from every department head and said, start over, we want it pennies. And Chief Marlowe was one of those people who took that to the extreme, combined with his police clerk, and they, I think, got it down probably to the 48-cent stamp. Excuse me, it's 47 cents for us.
47.
That's how we got our, I think we'd be looking at our initial budget workshops, we'd have been looking at a much steeper deficit than $125,000 when we considered all of the department heads' proposals. And obviously under my proposal, in removing capital and increases, that was enough to make it balance. And so it's clear that a good portion of what the town spends is on wages and less on rubber bands and paper clips. But to that point, we count every single one of them, and we've put a number of expenditure controls into place in order to maintain our spending at a minimum that we can. We understand that the public trusts us with their funds, and we take no exception to this levy. To that end, I'll call for a vote. Councilmember Smith?
No.
Councilmember Barker? Would you like me to restate the motion?
No.
Okay. Ms. Barker?
Yes.
Ms. Holcomb?
No.
Mr. Michelson?
Yes.
Okay, we have another tie, obviously. I think that it's important that the community get involved in this process and we hear why or why not a mill levy should be run. We lost most of our crowd tonight, which is unfortunate, and there hasn't been a tremendous amount of public input as to whether a levy is supported or not by and large by the community. We have a very small percentage of folks here tonight. And so I would like to hear more. And to that end, I vote aye with the idea that if we get down the road and the public doesn't support it, we can always back it off. We've got a while before we have to absolutely submit it onto the ballot. And so I vote in favor of it. Motion passes. Moving on to agenda item B. Julie, we're almost there. Hang in there. Installation of a discussion decision. Installation of stop signs at the intersections of Church and 2nd, College and 2nd, and Pine and 2nd Streets. Three intersections are dangerous and folks fly through the yield signs daily, as stated by Ms. Eckert. Would you like to give any presentation, or do you want us just to delve right into it?
So I've brought this up a couple of times even with Jim and James, and I sit out on my porch a lot. I've got kids going back and forth across the street, whatever. I drive down 2nd Street to get to my place all the time, and people fly through those intersections. I've almost gotten hit a couple of times. My kids have almost got hit a couple of times. I've watched several accidents on College and 2nd. I think it was 2 years ago. I was woken up by one on the corner of Pine and 2nd. People just don't pay attention. I don't know if those yield signs are too far off the road and they don't see them or what, but people have got to stop and look, because too many people go down 2nd Street. I have people who turn off of East Side Highway and race down the road, and I'm the number one resident that sits there and yells, slow down. It's ridiculous. I really like something done about it. Somebody's going to get hurt. We've got the Genesis house right down from my house. And there's a lady that runs around the down 2nd Street, and she walks down the middle of the road. She's gonna get hit. And I talked to the gal that runs the place, but I'm asking that something get done, because it's gonna be one of our kids. We've had bikers almost get hit. So
thank you.
Yeah.
At the risk of someone putting a motion forward based on just what's on the agenda, my recommendation would be is that, you're certainly okay to make a motion tonight and direct us to place stop signs at these intersections. But I'd like the Public Works Department and the Police Department and myself to work together to probably bring some sort of proposal if it's in fact something you want to do. You can also do nothing, but I don't know if that's responsible. So I just ask you to entertain the possibility of this coming back to the council for consideration with some more detail as to where signs would be placed and really study the traffic flows on 2nd Street, because it's a common complaint that we receive at City Hall. Some alternatives I'd like to consider is the possibility of placing either four-way stops at certain intersections along the second, or changing the stop signs on those streets in order to slow the traffic coming down second, but also to address the traffic on College.
So if we table this, how much time, when do we set the meeting?
I don't know as though you necessarily need to table it, but you can, I think you can make a motion to direct us to do a traffic study on these streets, and we bring it back under unfinished business. Mr. Smith.
The way I understand it, we can only discuss or make a decision on what is on the agenda, so to make another motion, we would have to have another meeting. So in essence, this just dies, and then you as the mayor could ask the chief and the public works to do the study on your own as your executive duties allow you to do.
No, if the council on this topic, if the council were to make a motion to say that we redirect the chief of police to conduct a traffic study in regards to stop signs at the intersections of Church and Second, College and Second, and Pine and Second, then you're covered. You're not outside of your authority. You do not need to make a motion with the verbiage that's on the agenda. The agenda is simply a topic for conversation.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at, is it's in discussion decision to make a decision in regards to putting stop signs there. So we, in essence, are changing it, requesting that there be a traffic study. So it should have, in essence...
No, you're not changing anything. You're asking for more information from the council. If it's the council's wish to table it, that's fine. This is your meeting. I'm simply facilitating.
When's the next meeting?
July 9th.
Does that give you enough time?
Keep in mind, we've got one person in the police department.
Exactly.
Two with the chief, with the clerk. So,
okay, so
our plates are full, and now we're running a levy.
And we're still in budget season, too.
Chief, what's a realistic expectation that we could conduct a traffic study on that, on that street, or not even a traffic study, but necessarily, but come back with a firm proposal as to where these signs should be placed?
I mean, just working here the last 14 years, I got a pretty good idea what we should do. But that being said, I think it would behoove us to do like we did at the other intersection, maybe not the entire week, but get some vehicle speeds. Get some data on how many people are just not even slowing down, going through the yield signs, that type of thing. If it's possible, we could probably do that with either our clerk or the GSC in concert. Okay. Maybe we can discuss that. I think it's doable. I think we can get it done within a couple of weeks, probably.
So is it doable July 9th at our next meeting?
That doesn't give you exactly 2 weeks because we have to get a packet out. I would defer it to the last meeting in July.
And that would be what, July?
Yeah, I think it would be better to do that.
You're going for July 23rd.
Okay, so I make a motion
that
we table the installation of stop signs at the intersections of Church and Second, College and Second, and Pine and Second, with getting feedback from our chief of police on where to place them.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by Ms. Holcomb and Ms. Barker to table the installation of stop signs at the intersections of Church and Second, College and Second, and Pine and Second, with further input from the Chief of Police until July 23rd.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any further discussion from the Council? Mr. Michelson.
Would it be all right, Mr. Mayor, if you could get a cost associated with these signs?
Yes, we will bring that forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Barker? Okay. Any public comment? Ms. Lowell.
I'd just like to say that on Church and Second, the problem, and I've talked to James about it, is all of the brewery traffic parks along there.
Yep.
So if you're going from Church to Second, there's no way you can see. I mean, the trucks are all parked. It's a
parking issue. I mean, they're on both sides, so it is a problem. I've seen several accidents there, and I think the yield sign also is covered by some branches, or they just don't look. There is that divot thing there. But, I mean, they just fly through there, and you really can't see if you're in a car with all the trucks, and presumably at the brewery. Late.
Thank you. And George is aware of the parking issue, and we're and you've mentioned it to me as well. We're working to address that. Ms. Barker.
I would like to also reiterate on that. I'm up Second Street, and this morning, as a matter of fact, going to work, and then I had a guy throw his hands up in the air like it was my fault that he had to stop.
Was it your fault?
No. Okay. I was coming down that way. Not my fault. So that's, I think Tanya's right, you know, it's something that we do definitely need to look into and, you know, for the safety, because we do have a lot of school kids that use that route as well, again.
Thank you. Any further public comment on Second Street stop signs? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. You still want to do this, or should we just wait till next time? Next agenda item is item C, request for support for the Big Sky Trust Fund application. Ms. Foster is here to present.
Thank you.
Yeah? For all of us? Is this supplementary to what's in our packet, or is this totally...
It is a little bit different.
It's amended.
It's no longer a draft, and we have a company name on there.
Okay.
So, and we've got to have a long meeting, and I know that you all know what the Big Sky Trust Fund is, because we've used it several times. Do you want me to forego that kind of information and just get to the application? Or do you want...
Ms. Barker?
I believe that where you've had it in the packet, that the public is not aware of who this Big Sky Trust Fund is.
Okay.
So if you could elaborate on that,
sure.
Please.
So the state of Montana has a program called the Big Sky Trust Fund. The purpose of that program is to create good-paying jobs and assist Montana businesses and help our state and our county and town be more competitive with other states that also have incentives to help businesses grow a company, and also to encourage workforce development. The eligible activities through this grant program that is through the state are a reduction in the interest rate of a commercial loan, grant or low interest loan for relocation expenses, rental assistance or lease rate buy downs, equipment, wages for new employees, construction materials, and employee training. Our county, this is how they do it, used to be a high poverty county. It no longer is. That may come as a surprise to everyone, including me, but we're not. And so we used to get a higher dollar value for each net new eligible job that a business created and went through this program to receive a grant on. Now what we can receive is $5,000 per eligible job created, and that's a one-to-one match from the company. And then the reimbursements come as the jobs are created. There's no cost to the town, but the funds do have to pass through the town in order to then be passed on to the business. So the deadline for the current application round is July 10th. We had a little bit of timing with this situation, but this company, Transco, is out of Washington and looking to purchase the Selway facility and start business here, which I think is probably really good news also for everyone. And what they are is a light industrial manufacturer that provides services in bulk material handling, agriculture, machinery, water technologies, and more, and they're hoping to be locating here in Stevensville. So this application would be for them to hire up to 40 employees over a two-year period of time, and those positions to be eligible for the program would have to be full-time, at least 35 hours a week is this program's definition of full-time, who would have to pay $16.77 an hour. And the Department of Commerce is saying that they're expecting that they would potentially have these awards made by August. So if the town could wanted to entertain the application, it would be for a total of $200,000 in grant funds, and then the company would be matching that for $200,000. And the way we get there is 40 times 5,000. And it would be $95,000 for equipment modifications and supplies, and $95,000 for the land purchase, and $10,000 for administration.
Thank you, Julie. Are there any questions from the council for Julie? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we that we support the Big Sky Trust Fund application.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second motion.
It's been moved and seconded to support the Big Sky Trust Fund application for Transco. Is there any discussion from council? Any public comment? You guys figured it. Mr. Sharkey.
I just have a quick question. Julie, is it going to be a maximum of 40 employees or 40 more than currently?
This is a new company. It's not selling.
Okay.
So 40, right?
How many Selway, do you have to know how many Selway employees are?
No.
Is it more than 40?
Ms. Barker.
At this time, there's probably about 20 and a handful that are there. That's not including the office help. I believe there's only like 6 or 7 in the office right now. So
this would increase their staffing. Any further public comment? Chief Motley.
My understanding is this just a pass-through?
Correct.
Pass-through.
We did the same thing for BE Forest Products. Mr. Perrin.
Just in the past, we've done this a couple of times, and it's a great program. And it's good for the town, good for the economy, and no risk for the town at all.
Any further public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thanks for hanging in there, Julie.
Thank you very much. Can we get a good view to sign, and then I can turn
them over? Sure. Well, she leaves that to sign. I'm going to pass the claims around for you guys to sign. Sounds good. Thank you. All right. Agenda item D under new business. Agenda topic is council's discussion decision to approve making the police records clerk position a full-time position. Councilmember Michelson and Barker. Mr. Michelson.
Okay. This was brought up to our attention at the budget meeting 2 weeks ago. Chief Marvel and Mayor Dewey said that due to the lack of manpower, that they decided to make the police records clerk from part-time to full-time. So, not bringing up before the council, do it right and properly, Council Member Barker and I brought it on the agenda to discuss it, decide whether we want to do it or not. This is the only way to do it. So we looked it over, and my honest opinion is the council's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. I could see the urgency of freeing up Chief Marvel so he could get out in the field more. But I also can see that it just seems to me like we're just creating jobs from part-time to full-time. And then we've got another one on the agenda here that's on the website, which is to help George. I have reservations about it myself, but to do it right, we have to bring it forward. Thank you.
I disagree. I think that making a position from part-time to full-time, as long as you've given me the budget authority to spend that funding, is appropriate. We did in fact see a loss in manpower in the police department that resulted in some salary savings, and so we were then able to increase the hours, and it was warranted. And frankly, we would have had the discussion if we didn't have the funding to do it, because it was needed. The chief needed the support. So again, you adopt a budget. It's my responsibility to act upon that budget. And there's nothing in the police clerk's job description that states she's full-time or part-time. However, if the council wishes to formalize that, they so can, keeping in mind that essentially in the proposed budget she goes full-time anyway, and there's only 5 days left of this fiscal year, so you're basically making a decision to allow the 5 final days of the fiscal year as a full-time employee. Ms. Barker.
I think the point was that we were budgeted for a part-time clerk. Yes, I understand the situation and everything, but if that's the case, we should have amended it, and it has not been amended.
You don't need to amend the budget. When you adopt a budget, you adopt a salaries line. We're spending in within that salaries line.
We had it for that particular position was only a part-time position, and that's what we were paying her for.
That is true. I mean, I understand we have the extra money because we don't have the 2 officers, but still, when you have it in the budget as her as part-time, you still have to amend the budget because it goes from part-time to full-time, so that is spending more money for the clerk.
The only time you amend a budget is when the general fund bottom line is going to be exceeded, or any funds line is going to be exceeded. You don't necessarily amend a budget just simply because you're changing a position where the funding was available for it anyway. I mean, if we budgeted for 10 boxes of staples and decided to buy 8 boxes of paper clips instead, would you expect me to come forward with a budget amendment?
That's pennies on pennies. This is still a position that we approved for as a part-time position, and this was only to be taken out of that part-time. So we have these extra funds or whatever. It doesn't mean it goes to that clerk. Those funds were to go to a part-time or police department.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is you feel that the extra support to the chief of police was unwarranted.
That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
How would the council like to proceed?
I think we need to proceed by making this right, and to make it right to where it comes as a motion to put her position from part-time to full-time. I mean, when we make a budget, you just can't make these decisions you have to include your council. So I just feel we need to make it right, and I will make it a motion that we approve making the police records clerk position a full-time position.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to make the police records clerk a full-time position. Is there any discussion from council? Ms. Barker.
I would just like to see from here on out, if we do make that decision, that the council is included instead of it just going forth and making a decision on our own.
Any further council comment? Mr. Michelson.
Also, it's very important that this is a matter of public record. When you, Mayor, decide just to go from part-time to full-time, and that doesn't come before the council, it doesn't come before a matter of public record, and it doesn't get put in the books that way. That's why it's the process that we've always did here on the council, and it's a process that I think we should continue to do going forward. If it's a slower process, then so be it. That's just how government works. There needs to be a lot more communication between you, Mayor, and the council. It's been broken off, and it's obvious here by your arrest of judgment that it didn't come before if this would have came before, we wouldn't be having this discussion now. So we're playing catch-up as a council. And I would like to see you as the mayor coming forward to us. I know you've been very good at the budget. You've been very good. Very transparent. But as far as council meetings and other that stuff, it just feels like we've been kind of left out. And I can speak for all four of us because I'm the council president. So moving forward, I would like to see some more transparency. Thank you.
Further council comment? Any public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson?
No.
Councilmember Smith?
Yeah.
Councilmember Barker?
Yes.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Motion passes 3-1. Next agenda item is establishing a wage for the public works assistant. Again, Councilmembers Michelson and Barker. Thanks, Chief.
This position was brought up to the website, and it was the mayor has the power to do that. But what the mayor didn't have the power to do was set the wages and the job responsibilities, duties. We're just here to make sure, like I said, it's not a problem. It's just that we would have brought it before the council the first time. It would have been a lot more smooth, but we'll get there. So with that, we'll move forward. Thank you.
Okay. I'd caution you on how you proceed with this agenda topic, because if you apply a wage to one public works assistant, you've applied them to all. When you merged the public works, or when you merged water and sewer with streets and alleys, you created the positions, essentially, of the public works assistants. That was something that was done prior to my term, but that George and I carried through. Each of those individuals has different rates of pay. They retained their rates of pay based on what they were before under their previous job descriptions. So the council expressed a desire to combine the departments. That was done. And I guess effectively we've carried through on your wishes. Now, the public works assistant won't be hired until, or this specific position won't be hired and was not created. I'll be clear, this is a vacancy that Ed Sutherland created. We had four full-time equivalents in the public works department all along, okay, collectively. This is not a new position. What was done based on the council's action to combine the departments was we took the supervisory roles out of that position and lumped all the water and sewer into it. Again, you have 5 days left of this fiscal year, and then here in August, you're going to adopt wages and salaries again. You've already adopted wages and salaries for this position, okay? It's just got a different title, but since then, you've changed the system, and so those titles haven't been updated. In August, you'll see a full wage schedule of every position and the ranges to which those are paid should we have a vacancy. Mr. Michelson.
Just to be clear, this isn't a new position?
It is not.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So it isn't adding any revenue? I mean, it isn't adding any more expenditures to...
Correct. So when Mr. Sutherland retired, his vacation and sick leave payout was such that we didn't have the expenditure authority within our budget, to which you adopt, to rehire his position, because his payout was so much it ate the rest of his salary for the year. So we're stuck until June 30th. The plan is to rehire this position in July to give the Public Works Department the help they need. They've been scrounging and doing a fine job of it, but they're worn out. I mean, nobody's been able to really take any vacations to speak of. So the intent is in this budget is to restore that fourth position. And so that's why you didn't see the jump in salaries throughout the entire department, other than the allocation to the general fund. We just reallocated where those wages came from. But the total sum of wages in the Public Works Department did not increase in the fiscal year 19 budget. We should.
Mosquito, you're okay.
Be all right.
Thanks, Brandon.
You're welcome.
I come to suck your blood.
How would the council like to proceed? He'll be all right. If we open maybe that other door, he might find his way out.
I let it die.
So mosquito controls.
Yeah. If the town had enough mosquitoes, where were you then?
Come in, little guy.
He's more nervous than
he. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll carry on. I think he'll find his way out eventually. If he doesn't, he'll calm down. Does the council wish to proceed on this item? Now he's flying low.
Sarah was so ill.
He likes Sarah.
He does like me. And I'm not as cute.
So amazing.
Hey, it's just nature. It's the outdoors, folks. It's exactly. It's in a church, so we're safe. It's okay.
Exactly.
Does the council wish to proceed at all?
No.
So the salary would be between 15 and 18.
Correct, and that's not anything you haven't already adopted.
Okay.
So the max set in public works, any of our current three public works individuals, with the exception of George, they make the $18 an hour, and we start everybody at 15.
Okay.
And that's adopted per whatever resolution it was you adopted wages at the last budget adoption.
I'll make a motion that we establish, well, that we continue on with what you have proposed for the Public Works Department.
Is there a second? Bob, if you just reach out and grab him.
Shut the door. Shut the door.
I'm not shutting the door.
We
have
it.
It's so close.
You put your hair down.
Okay, if we move along here, we're almost done, folks.
Yeah.
Promise.
I think Mrs. Barker seconded.
Ms. Barker, did you second the motion?
Yeah.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to continue on with the mayor's proposal to hire a public works assistant. Any further discussion from council? Any public comment? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Close the door, Angie. Get it. There he goes. All right. Let's slam the doors closed. I'm okay with the heat. We had to move a lot past it.
Okay,
we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
No.
Councilmember Smith.
The motion is to...
The motion is to continue forward with the public works assistant as it's been proposed by the mayor.
The wage that has been proposed.
The $15 to $18 an hour.
Yes, aye.
Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
Agenda item F is discussion decision to approve position description for the public works assistant. Council members Michelson and Barker. Mr. Michelson.
Just going to formality, like I said, on the matter of public record, if the council is good with the job description of this nature, then I would like the council to move forward to vote.
Would you put a motion forward so they can vote on it?
Okay. I would like to make a motion that the council establish a wage for the public works assistant.
Move down the line, Bob.
Yeah, the approval of...
You're on agenda item F.
We're on F. We're almost out the door.
Okay. Make a decision to...
to approve the position description for the public works assistant.
Okay, it's been moved to approve the position description for the public works assistant. Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb? Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the position description for public works assistant. Any discussion from council? Yep, go ahead.
You made this job description, George?
Yes.
Any public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Michelson?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. That concludes the business portion of our meeting. My executive report. It's only a couple pages, right? Just a reminder, our budget meeting is on Thursday, and this is where we'll review the overall budget. We still have a little bit of tweaking to do this week. We're not quite at the reserve level we'd like to be. And so we're working on that. But we're close. Another one?
Coming through the back door.
Oh, is the back door open too? Oh, I thought it came out the front.
He's bigger.
Right.
Nonetheless, we'll move on. He'll figure his way out. Just look down and ignore him. Western Days went on this last weekend without any significant incident, and I have to say I'm proud of the town's involvement in that event. Certainly, a thanks to Chief Marble and the Police Department Reserves for their willingness and time this weekend, because that was pretty important to have that presence. I think it was effective. Also, Public Works did an outstanding job with setting out the stages and assisting with closures. And we also need to thank them for changing the banners that run through town as well. That was very helpful. We were done with winter. So again, I'm proud of the organization for the level of commitment that they showed and have shown over the years. Some staff and myself are continuing to help facilitate the Creamery picnic meetings that we are hosting at Town Hall, and that's just simply to keep the ball rolling there. Monday marks, I think it's Monday, marks 6 months since the change to my leadership here at the town of Stevensville. Certainly, we've seen and will continue to see our share of challenges and trials, but some accomplishments I think are worth highlighting. I'll get through them. That control will be added to the next list. Early in the year, we passed an ordinance to address graffiti prevention and removal, and that was the first ordinance that this body's passed in nearly 2 years, so that was a good move forward. Park lighting is finally complete with positive results. Our cash, which has been a topic over a number of years, frankly, maybe even longer than I've been alive, is finally balanced for the first time, again, in many years. And our troubles with financial record keeping are essentially resolved. We have a few tweaks to make with the last audit, but we're done bickering about where the money is as far as if it's accurate or not. We're solid on solid footing there, and a lot of credit goes to April and Denise to help make that happen. Again, earlier this year, we took delivery of 2 fire engines upgrading the fire department's fleet, and that was an important move for us because it brought another fire station online. On that note, EMS equipment, including the ambulance, has been upgraded. We went from a 95 apparatus to a 2011, and that, having operated that, I think that was a good move. The swimming pool facelift has been completed just recently, and public continues to enjoy that, and credit goes again to Public Works for helping make that happen. As stated earlier in the meeting, we've implemented better control over expenditures to satisfy our audits, but also to aid in maintaining our budget allocations and where we sit there. So again, you know, we're signing every claim form before the claims come forward for council approval, and so you know, things are tightened down. Staff morale is improving, and we continue to build an effective team, and we've seen, obviously, more turnover than I care to see in a six-month time span, but hopefully that builds us a little bit stronger, and we can move forward with good people on board, and that'll treat us right and treat our customers right, because that's obviously that's what we're here to do. We're again enforcing long grass and other nuisances to benefit the image of the community. That was a major complaint we received, was that, you know, we weren't necessarily working on the long grass issues throughout the town. And while a few people have an issue with it, by and large, the community has embraced that. The bathroom remodel at the park is again underway. We're working on it again. George doesn't know this, but our target completion date is now August 1st. I think we can make it happen. We're almost there. We just, every rainy day, we just work on it. And the last comment, that's enough about the positive stuff, and this is positive too. And this is mostly a message to our businesses and in the general service clerk and the police clerk's involvement in the community, and they've been very well engaged. We found that some business owners feel that because they're not residents of the town, they don't have a voice in City Hall. Some of that has been reportedly been expressed by council members. I don't know if that's this council or former councils, and I don't necessarily care to know. However, I do want the business community to know that they do have a voice in City Hall because you pay our bills. The residents obviously have their voice too, but we're invested into the business community. We want to be business friendly, and at least that's the priority of my administration. Whether the council adopts that philosophy or not, that's my priority, to build that tax base so that we don't necessarily have to run $200,000 levies on a regular basis. We don't like to do that. On that note, it's been a long time since this city has run a bond issue or a levy issue before the public. The last time we ran a levy or a bond was 1993, or 1992 rather, to purchase a fire engine. And before that, we may have financed City Hall, but it's been a long time, and perhaps it's time, perhaps it's not. I'm interested in learning more. That's it. Council comments. Mrs. Holcomb.
I just want to iterate what Jim Crew said earlier about the letter about Councilperson Michelson. There was also one other thing that was wrong in there. He didn't run last year, so there wouldn't be a reason why he would come and speak. And then I think our communication needs to get better. I did not know we had hired a water aerobics instructor until she came up to me and said, "Hey boss, how's it going?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "I'm an employee of the town." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I'm the new water aerobics instructor." I said, "Didn't know." So I didn't know we had a new employee on the book that we did not approve of the wage or the job description. So I think that needs to come before us with that. I just wish the communication would just be a little bit better between us between the council and the mayor. Oh, and I wanted to make one thing. The reason why I did not address Mr. Perrin, because we cannot speak during public comments. That is our time to listen to what the public has to say to us, just like they cannot interact when we're doing our comments. So I will make a comment now. The reason why I didn't say that is because I'm no longer on the Creamery Picnic Board. So I was not at that meeting when they made the decision.
Okay. Mr. Michelson.
Yes, I would like to suspend the council rules and adopt resolution 37A, part 5, section 1. And I would like to do a 60 minutes spending freeze on the town.
60 day or 60 minutes?
I mean 60 day. 60 day spending freeze on the town till we adopt our budget and we get to go going forward to where we're at. That doesn't mean that we just quit spending on this and that. I know you guys have to spend on a regular basis. You need gas, lights, all that stuff. But just no outstanding things like tires and all this stuff. So I'd like to make it a matter of public record just to vote on council to have the town departments just watch our spending as we go forward.
You cannot do that.
I can.
You can't vote on an item that is not on the agenda.
Yes, I can.
You did not bring a resolution forward to put a spending freeze in place. And a spending freeze is an item of significant public interest. And you're cutting the public out of that process. They had no notice that we were implementing a spending freeze. And I'll say that a spending freeze is unwarranted. I have told you that we've put expenditure precautions into place. And it's been always been the practice of the town that until a budget is adopted, we only pay the necessary bills.
He's been same point of order. He has the floor.
Mr. Michelson.
Part 5. Order of business. Section 1. The presiding officer shall prepare the council agenda, which shall be subsequently following the form and order of business. Goes right all the way to Section 12, Town Council Comments. Council members may, by voting to suspend the council rules, consider and act upon routine and or administrative items not on the agenda. Unscheduled matters, an item that is not listed on the agenda for the current meeting may be addressed during the council committee section of the agenda as a general rule.
I don't think that a spending freeze is a routine or administrative task. Mr. Michelson.
I checked my sources, Mr. Mayor. I checked with Lou Barnett, who was the previous mayor. I checked with Nancy Lowell, who was a clerk and treasurer for many years. And I checked with ex-Mayor Cruz, as you well know, is a pretty much a MCA. So we did our homework before this, and this is the time that it does not have to be on the agenda that the council can discuss business or can bring a motion forward to entertain a spending freeze. I'm sorry, but you have no say about it. All you can do is break the tie.
Does the spending freeze include the legal fees we may incur when the member of the public is ticked off that we implemented a spending freeze? Mr. Michelson.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not saying a spending freeze that we have to quit. Like I said, we can do the regular stuff, but no big ticket items like tires and all this other stuff until we figure out where we're at with the budget.
Nobody's purchased any tires.
I'm not saying that right now. Going forward.
So you have a motion on the floor to suspend council rules.
I did, and I brought a motion forward to do a spending freeze for 60 days.
If you're going to suspend council rules, the body needs to agree first before you proceed with another motion.
I suspended council rules and brought a motion before the floor.
Your first action needs to be to suspend council rules. The body votes. Then you can make a motion on making a spending freeze.
Okay. I suspend council rules. I'd like to bring it up to a vote.
Okay. It's been moved to suspend council rules. Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb. Okay. It's been moved and seconded to suspend council rules. Is there any discussion from council? Any public comment?
There is no public comment.
Mr. Howell. Any further public comment? Ms. Berthoud. Excuse me, I am the chair, and the public has an opportunity to comment on every item that this council considers.
Brandon, we are in our council comments. This is our time to comment.
And you're not commenting. You're making a decision that affects the well-being of this community for 60 days, no less. Ms. Berthoud, please step to the podium and continue with your comment.
My question would be, if you're going to put a freeze for 60 days, how am I going to continue to run the police department when July 1st comes along and I can't pay the bill to run my police department? The police department, excuse me. If I can't pay my monthly dues to NOVA, I can't put anything in the police system. Think about that. I can't move forward with my job if you put a freeze on this.
Any further public comment? Mr. George, go ahead. Thomas.
You put a freeze on, I can't buy chemicals for a pool, I can't buy chemicals. You're putting a freeze on.
That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, it sounds like that's what you're saying. You know, there's day-to-day stuff that has to be spent on, and there's other things. If you guys want things done, we have to spend money.
Okay, so we're considering the suspension of council rules at this time. No motion has been brought forward to implement a spending freeze yet. At this time, I call for the vote on the spending freeze. Ms. Barker. Or excuse me, call for the vote on suspending the council rules. I apologize. Ms. Barker.
No.
Ms. Holcomb.
No.
Mr. Smith.
No.
Mr. Michelson.
Yes.
Okay, motion fails 3-1. Further council comments? Mr. Smith.
Thank you very much for all your hard work on the pool, George, and the bathroom and everything else, all you guys are doing, being short-staffed and all of that. So really appreciate that. Let the guys know. Just appreciate it.
Okay. Any further council comment? Are there any board reports? Mr. Smith.
Attended the airport board. We're doing things. Thank you.
Okay. At this time, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'm going to adjourn.
Okay, is there a second?
Yeah, there's a second over
there. It's just Mr. Michelson. Okay, meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the one we can shut it off now.